And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Independence from me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the BEAUD full studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, it's good to be back. We're on video. Got all the wires hooked up and everything. N3, hello, LRN, hello, Chicago, hello, Nashville, hello, Portland, hello, everybody, hello. And most of that's live. Okay, now this is what's going on today. Now, one gentleman that was at the Freedom Summit, his name is Paul Snow, and he's putting on the 2014 Texas Bitcoin Conference that is in Austin, Texas, and it's at the very nice and very large 44,000 square foot facility of Circuit of the Americas. It's like a racetrack or something. It's like and during the week, I guess we won't have to listen to racing cars, but we're going to use the facility. You know, they're going to present a lot of people that, you know, some that we've had at the summits before and even this year and such, but it's, let me tell you what the deal is. Bitcoin. And then they're going to talk about that other, no, it's probably just going to be Bitcoin, but there was one other, no, Bitcoin. So it's going to be Bitcoin. All right. Now, one I noticed on here, Susan Hitch, CFO, the D, Las Vegas Casino Hotel and the Golden Gate Hotel Casino, which I went to Passport for Freedom, Charles Goyette and Berwick and Peter Schiff and myself and everything were there and saying, what's up? And during the day, I mean, Bitcoin was an issue. Stephanie Murphy gave a presentation there. She will at the Texas Bitcoin Conference. And I went down to the casino, and it's like big, giant signs that we accept Bitcoin. So I want to hear Susan Hitch. What's up? We do BitPay on the Freedom Summit. We integrated that into our marketplace and the funding center. There's some, you know, kind of little doodads we got to get fixed up and code and take this part of this thing and do what we're learning. You know, the way we wanted to do it, a little special way, a little merchant services going on there with my webmaster Tiger, and they worked it out, and James Babb got the thing up and rock and roll and whatnot, and the future is here. Now, think about this. Bitcoin Nut Bombs, Davy Barker, one of the speakers. Now, he spoke primarily on his authoritarian sociopathy project, but you, these guys, I think this next magazine that we did, I think it was in almost 2 years ago, we had a big issue, you know, our Tron Babe on the cover of the magazine, that it was introducing Bitcoin to everyone, cryptocurrency in general, and pirating of software, the BitTor, you know, doing Tor, blah, 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 deep web, and all that. They go, what? Nobody ever told me what? So this is, we're going to do it again. We're going to get an update. This month is going to be, maybe Paul might want to contribute, and this will be coming out right before the Texas Bitcoin Conference, which will have a new cover that you will see at the conference. That was part of the trade deal, is that they come, get the hang, and I get to put up, banners, all right, and pass out some stuff. That's good, because I don't want to sit there and, you know, but I'm a party. Man, I had enough work doing the summit. So Paul and I had a lot of conversation. He's waiting right now. He's on the edge of his seat. He wants to share. But I can see you have Patrick Byrne, the merchant, big retailer, taking them, understands the peer-to-peer capacity, the philosophy behind it, the philosophy behind Bitcoin. Not necessarily Bitcoin. Cody Wilson, same thing. Davy Barker, Bitcoin Nut Bombs, Megan Kellison, Drew Phillips, everything. Same thing. Now, Raphael, here comes Paul Snow from Texas Bitcoin Conference. Same kind of thing. Hey, good guys, you know, they see what's what, but they have a different philosophy. It is wide adoption. So, let the sparks fly, Mr. Paul Snow. Do I have you there, sir?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Go ahead and, you know, anything I said that was inaccurate or you want to clarify?
Oh, man, I tell you, I don't think I've, you have the gold star on introductions. That's just fabulous. It's a wonderful, I don't think I could put that much content in 15 minutes.
I know, skip to the end. Okay, so this is, you know, well, first off, you got to meet with a lot. You know, what's interesting is, you know, the flavor of the summit. Nobody really understands what I'm talking about until they go to one. And you can mm-hmm. see how it just sparks. It's intimate enough that you're able to, I mean, you skip to the end. And it's always usually you got speakers and they got their groupies, you know, versus groupies. And it's kind of like teams or something. At the summit, it's the guys. I mean, it's the top. Like, I'm glad you guys came. You have the boys. Everybody gets to talk and express themselves and give it what for. And you got plenty of opportunity to express yourself. But what I want you to do is go ahead and explain to the audience in this first segment, what is the issue? In the Bitcoin community, what is it that is at issue? What's going on? How are the pieces, you know, getting organized on the board? What game are we playing? Go.
Okay, well, Bitcoin's a game changer. Almost everyone admits that. If you talk to Bill Gates, he's going to say it's a tour de force. This is an incredible thing that somebody has done, and it an incredible technical thing, and wow, that's really cool. And if you ask Warren Buffett, rat poison. He thinks it's rat poison. Now, in some sense, I think it is. The question is,
to who?
Who's the rat? And I'll tell you, we talked about this when we talked about this at the summit with a lot of different parties. Patrick
Byrne.
Byrne, sorry. I'm bad with names. I'm a technical type. He talked about what the central innovation that Bitcoin is, and Bitcoin's central innovation is honesty. If somebody is making a transaction with Bitcoin, you're actually incrementing somebody's account of the actual backing of the transaction, and you're decrementing somebody else's. It's not about trading bank promises. And with public ledger, and we'll, you know, it gets kind of complicated, but the bottom line is Bitcoin reduces the ability of financial institutions to lie by trading promises upon promises upon promises without ever settling the accounts.
See, it doesn't prevent them from doing anything. It ignores
right.
them. That's the point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if I want to transact with you, I can send you a Bitcoin, and I don't need a bank's permission. And you can be over there in Arizona, and I can be here in Austin. It's just as easy as if I were face-to-face in a brick and mortar. And I don't have to ask anybody permission. You as a merchant don't have to run a credit check with me.
Ahead. We're coming up on the break, and this is what we're going to
sure.
do, Paul. Yeah, I got to meet you and hang out with you, and we're friends and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm like, you know, I endorse Paul Snow as a source of information. And as far as I know, you know, the boy is not a liar. I mean, you know, he says something. I mean, you know, it's probably, you know, true, maybe a different opinion, but we're going to become acquainted, and you're going to become acquainted with the audience. Now, the audience knows about Bitcoin. All right.
Okay.
Now, when you're talking about the it keeps banks honest by kind of, no, it doesn't do anything. It's a competition to it. And so I'm going, okay. So we have that competition, and it's just, mm-hmm. I break with thee. Paul Snow is like, you know, is there ever going to be any interface between the dollar, the banks, and Bitcoin? If so, he may have a solution. Okay, should there be? Can there be? That's what we're going to talk about.
uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com, constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Free Speech Me is a free software plugin for Firefox that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. You can register a .bit domain today using the inexpensive cryptocurrency Namecoin. .bit domains are extremely resistant to being shut down or hijacked by governments, corporations, or criminals. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to effortlessly get to your site using your .bit address and our Free Speech Me plugin. Go right now to freespeechme.org.
Okay, Paul?
Yes.
Okay, when we come back, I can do the, I'm going to go ahead and get into your career and your bona fides and what you do and
sure.
What. So you need to do, like, the 30-second, I know I did, I got, I saw, I, got sure. enthusiastic, I bought a bunch, and now I'm going to become a gazillionaire, okay?
All right.
So we'll go ahead and do that. But then I want to get in nitty-gritty. Now, I left, Donna just talked to Davi. He's getting on a plane going to Liberty for him. And I want to get confirmation from him, probably do this, is have him do the next cover while I got Athena working on, the new newspaper thing we're doing. So I go to Davi and I'll say, hey, you know what I want to do? Let me tell you what I want to do. I want you to go ahead and do the cover so that it's a Bitcoin thing. Because we did the Tron babe that was up there holding out the
right.
silver calculator. That was the issue that did. So we'll do a updated version and get and whatever. And this month's magazine will be on Bitcoin open source software, 3D print, that kind of thing. So
sure.
If you want to write an article, now. I mean, I need it by mid next week.
I can do that.
All right. All right, here we go.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We don't need no stinking roads. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to get my Jetson car. That's what we're going to do. I'm so sick of... the government's in the way all the time of everything. That's a really good idea. And then you start looking like you're going to get strafed by a Messerschmitt or something. That means the government must come. It's a good idea. You're not allowed. Well, what happens? That's the one thing that really came out of the summit is that, You look to try and, shield against the Messerschmitts, get them to, pop smoke that you're a good guy, they're not going to get you or something. It's like they're in the equation to where things like Bitcoin and different open source mindset, it's philosophy of how you do it. Just from the beginning, you set it up so it can't be centralized controlled. That is the answer. It's like, it doesn't matter what you're, we're going to rig it, so we're going to pass a lot, so we're going to make sure you, so. We got a gun, so, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. That's what I'm looking for. That's a robust system. That's a, leave me aloneism. That's a, it doesn't matter. You can't get me, okay? But to get wider adoption, to have this, go across the planet, if you can get some kind of credibility of them doing it, which I don't care. But I don't care either way. You can do it, fine, knock yourself out. What happens? Mt. Gox bitcoins are about half of what they're actually trading on in the free market. And people come to you and they go, see, that's the proof. It's not stamped. It's going. I go, yeah? What are you kidding me? That's the proof. They don't matter. I mean, that's my point. I'm going, you know, that's my point. Well, how is it that I got a feed on Freedom's Phoenix up here? We had a feed up there. I mean, for a day. We just turned it on for a day. And it had, you know, gold and silver. That ticker was provided by Robertson Roberts. You'll see it top of the page up there. Robertson Roberts, we got it right now. Live. There it is. What it is. You know, what is it? It's bid. It's like 1,200 and whatever. And silver is almost like 22. Damn. You know, and then Bitcoin, we took off. Why? Because the Mt. Gox exchange had it at, you know, less than half of what it was trading for on the internet. And I'm going, well, why did we pick that one? I don't know. Somebody, the webmaster picked it. It was there, picked. I thought it was, you know, picked. I didn't know any better. They're going, Ernie, that's the wrong one. You need to get bid average or something, you know, something else to what people are actually paying for it. Gee, I wonder, you think I'm going to go over there and sell it? You know, when I go over, I buy it from them, but then what do? They close their exchange. It's only 200 or 300 and something. Wow. Well, I want one. Well, we can't sell them. Well, then that's not what it's worth. I mean, it's self-raised. Free market fixes it. It's just next. Now, what's Paul Snow's interest in this? Now, he's an engineer and technical manager with experience in developing unique software solutions. Currently, he's leading the Maximus development team in Austin, delivering an integrated data entry system for Texas Department of Human Resources. So he has a government contract that's doing entry kind of form, kind of whatever. At least the boy's got skills, and he's sees the value of Bitcoin. So I'm going, all right. But he understands regulation and regulators and how and what they want and boxes to check and forms to fill out. Okay? I get it. Now, he's been writing compilers, interpreters, rules engines for use in graphics, embedded systems, and web applications for over 30 years. He designed and executed the Passing Bitcoin Around the World events. As an organizer of the Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup Group, he organized the Mini Bitcoin Conference in Austin series, which has grown into the Texas Bitcoin Conference. He has interest in Bitcoin. And I'll bet you if we ask him this one question, we'll get an interesting answer. Okay, Paul, do you have a bunch of Bitcoin?
I have a few bitcoins. I'm somewhat invested in Bitcoin.
Okay, absolutely. So it going from, I mean, I can see this. I mean, there's an incentive there. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's an incentive there. If you when you go from, you know, it's $4 when I got my first little Casatius kind of thing, I'm gonna throw it in the back of the safe and I go, you know what? That's worth an ounce of gold now. I'm like, I'm good. You know? I will keep that. So I'm going, okay, all right. So you go like this and you say, if Bitcoin goes up even an itty bitty little bit, a bunch of my little Bitcoins that were nothing become something, and I'm Wolf on Wall Street. Okay? So I go, I get it. Now, if you get regulators to kind of lean or there's a line on the IRS form to claim your Bitcoin, you know, capital gains here or you know, some I can pay a tax with or so it gets adopted in some way. You know, J.P. Morgan, you know, abandons their attempt to try and get a cryptocurrency patent or something. And they go, OK, we'll take, you know, Bitcoin. The casinos start taking Bitcoin. This is big. Bitcoin starts getting adopted and going in. Guess what? All you have to do, you don't even got to buy Bitcoin. All you have to do is to get it more widely adopted and become more kinder, gentler, government kind of lay hands on whatever. And then you're filthy, stinking Bill Gates. Okay? I get it. That is a powerful incentive. And then I can take this money and do good and freedom to the world and all that kind of stuff. I've heard all these justifications before. The thing is, though, that's not my goal. My goal is a free society for my grandchildren. It is the whole concept of leave me aloneism, of which Bitcoin is an excellent representation. Where's anarchy ever worked? And I go, Bitcoin. Yeah, but where have you Bitcoin? But it'll never Bitcoin. I mean, you know, I get it until it's bastardized by being adopted, incorporated, and put in part of. But fortunately, Bitcoin can be insulated from that. And it doesn't matter what deals you make. So the thing is that now that I did my rant here, you got to go to the Bitcoin community and make an argument to them why you need to have integration into the system or the capability or the perception of it. And that perception, does it translate into reality? Should the Bitcoin advocates be worried? We got Bitcoin Not Bombs in San Jose where they're trying to do venture capital and you guys be quiet. We're trying to get wider adoption, not scare the regulators. And they go, that's why we're here. Is to scare the regulators, okay? So I'm going, so where are you in that go?
Well, I think that regulation isn't anything to be afraid of. First of all, you have to understand that dollars are not regulated. The illicit market in the United States of, you know, drug dealing and child porn and murder and everything else, that's estimated by the UN in the U.S. at $300 billion a year, and our Department of Justice can intercept $1.2 billion a year. That's not even a transaction fee with a credit card. I mean, they're not touching dollars. Now, see, the thing is it's not dollars you can regulate. It's businesses that use dollars that you can regulate. Well, you know, they'll be able to regulate businesses that use Bitcoin. But the difference between the dollars and the Bitcoin is that quite a lot of economic activity worldwide can be executed with Bitcoin directly without all the businesses in between. When you swipe your credit card, you are using a whole line of businesses. You're using the payment processor that takes that credit card, that hands it to a bank, that takes it to somebody else, that hands it to another bank.
And when we come back, I promise, I pinky swear, I'm going to let Paul talk, okay? you can see, Paul, I got to get this side out. Nobody ever represents this side, you know? It's always how we're going to, so I've got to have my say. It's on record. All the pieces are, we're going to be there. We're going to have fun. Two more segments, and they're all Paul, okay? So we come back, pinky swear, go straight to Paul. Be right back.
Did you know that free aid is...
Okay. That gets us started. I got to say what I wanted to say, so now it's your turn. But,
okay.
I'm telling you, Paul, this is, I'll let you go, and then I'm sitting here making notes on the edge of my seat. I'm going to go bam, 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 and all this stuff. Because whenever you talk about, yeah, it's just like cash, yeah, it's, you know, it's regulated, it's not, and I tell you where, this is where the libertarian philosophical thing comes in, like kitty porn and terrorist stuff and all this other crap. And they'll go, I've run for Congress on this issue. They come after you, all right? And they'll say, well, you would, you know, allow for people to have child pornography. And I go, right. I go, well, that's evidence of a crime. I mean, you know, you should, you know, take that and go get the people that did it.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's kind of, but possession of anything is not a crime, okay? My thing is when you possess something, it may be evidence of a crime, but it's not where the violation took place. I mean, it's
absolutely,
like, you know, then do you go after the newscast that doesn't, then you go, and who gets to decide what is and is not child pornography? I'm sick to death of worrying about my daughters, you know, and sons. They send me pictures of the kids in the bathtub or something. They're going to go to jail or not, you know?
Right.
So I'm just going, this is, you know, F you guys. I'm just so sick of this mentality. So I'm going, you know, the possession of something, it may be evidence. Hey, that looks like, and then go do something. But they don't want to do that. They just want control. Okay. So
right.
I'm going, all right. So that's how I argue, and I do well, and you educate people, and they get, and they go, okay, I never thought of that, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm like, bring it on. I don't give a crap. Okay. But, you know, like what? I'm going to get elected or not or something? You know, I mean, that's not the point. So what happens is, in the Bitcoin realm, doing this is that there's the argument out there you might be doing something. Well, we're going to make it nicer, gentler for, you know, and make sure that you can know our customer and we'll be part of and all that kind of stuff. And it's missing the point of it being a representation of you don't need freaking government anymore. Bitcoin can be used for property. It can be used for registration of my freaking car. It can be used for, you know, so that philosophical thing is what Patrick Byrne was supporting. That's what Cody Wilson is going out. That's what you were standing alone there trying to, but we got it. You know, and I'm going, okay, everybody likes you. You know, we want to be supportive of what's going on. I'm hip. I just want to be clear to the audience that we're not sending them down the wrong path.
Right.
And that the power of the Bitcoin is its ability to not be regulated. It can be. That's the point.
Well, that is actually the point. And the point is that once you have Bitcoin into the community, then most of the choke points that they're currently using against Bitcoin now just go away. And that is where I want to go, but I don't have time to get there.
Well, you know,
anyway.
It's good. It's there. I mean, that's kind of that's what we're doing. You know,
that's why
I started. I go, look, you just got to prove to me that I can, you know, I go to my bank, put money in, I get Bitcoin, I get silver. We did it. Like, I don't know, almost a year and a half ago or something. And I'm going, all right, we're done. Next. Yeah. They go, yeah, but how do you get your Bitcoin? Well, you know, I sell stuff. We do services, whatever. Well, you got to go buy it. How are you going to do it? I don't know. I go on Craigslist and say, hey, who's got Bitcoin? I meet him at Starbucks. I got Bitcoin. And they go, yeah, but then you have to go start. I go, that's what I always thought.
Well, they can make that argument as long as there's not, when, as long as adoption is down in the 0.0001, they can make the argument, well, where do you get it? But once it's ubiquitous, once it's everywhere, I mean,
there will be services. There will be services. But I'm not going to advocate for them being regulated.
No, I don't care. See,
all right, here we go. Here we go. This is what we need to do on the air. Here we go.
Sure.
Fix and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
When does anarchy ever work? You bunch, you libertarians, you're just a bunch of, you're really anarchists. Compared to what? What we got now? That's my choice? I vote anarchy. I got to vote? So I'm just going, no, this is, and then they say, well, where's it ever worked? Well, you know, there's this Iceland thing, and there's this one ancient culture of, and pretty much every day when I get up in the morning and nobody's telling me, you know, what the, you know, my life is pretty, you know, not controlled. I just, you know, kind of cast that off of my head and I live a pretty good whatever. But, you know, the best example now is Bitcoin. Yeah, but Bitcoin. Oh, well, then it's evil because they can't do it and you're kidding, kind of drugs and money laundering terror and Bitcoin. Okay, so I'm just going, and they do the same thing they did with buy marijuana, support a terrorist. What? Yeah, the CIA. I mean, you know. So I'm just, I'm tired, uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. So that's what I'm so saturated. And I went into the summit. I made a mistake. I went into the summit already like that, my teeth grinding, because I made the mistake of having a state legislator on come on, and, you know, and we talked, and then, you know, Nick Drance from Gore Institute talking about, you know, their efforts for a constitutional convention and all that, and they want to suck you back. And I'm going, you know, I break with thee, Bitcoin. It purges the, you know, Bitcoin. I mean, seriously, it's the philosophy behind it. So Paul Snow, I promised, you go on your tear, man. Yeah, I want to know exactly what it is you're advocating and how it's going to benefit those that have these concerns. I mean, are you the good guy, bad guy, kind of just on the sidelines? I mean, go.
Well, I think I'm the good guy. I think that when I say that people can, you know, the Bitcoin Foundation and a bunch of other groups within the Bitcoin community, and they want to get regulators on board and all that. It's not that I think that that's necessary, and it's not that I think that that's even a good thing. It's just that what I want to see is Bitcoin into the economy, Bitcoin in everyone's pocket, Bitcoin in everyone's wallet. Okay, and when everyone has Bitcoin, and when people have the option of being paid in Bitcoin, and people have the option of holding the value of their work in something that isn't inflating, you know, being decimated in value day after day like the dollar is, then people can save for retirements, people can save for education, people can afford things again. And so that's the world that I am looking for. And if as a step to get there, somebody feels like they have to pass some regulations, as long as the result is that Bitcoin ends up in people's pockets, I think that's a win. Because once Bitcoin is ubiquitous, once you have Bitcoin, I have Bitcoin, once I can pay somebody Bitcoin to do some work for me, and I can pay for some Bitcoin, use Bitcoin to buy some services, then the world has already changed. Because when I make those transactions, there will not be a bank in between me. There will not be somebody that says, no, you can't do that, or yes, you can. There's no one approving. I will be responsible for my actions. You and I talked about that over the break. If you commit a crime, you should go to prison, but you should go to prison for the crime, not because you happen to hold in your hand Bitcoin, and because in some theoretical world, holding Bitcoin means that somebody can commit a crime. Well, heck, there isn't anything you can hold in your hand that doesn't give you the potential to commit some sort of crime. So it's not Bitcoin that's the crime. Bitcoin is the solution. Bitcoin's the answer.
You know, I understand your advocacy. You know, that it's going to be ubiquitous and it'll be very valuable. Because,
right.
You know, the Bitcoin now, I know how this goes. You go, ooh, a Satoshi that's worth so nothing, you know, all of a sudden becomes a gazillion dollar. And I traded in my one Bitcoin for, it was like IBM stock from the late 40s or something. I mean, mm-hmm. I get it, okay? The thing is that it doesn't do me any good to have a big giant stack of Bitcoins in a police state that's, you know, got M16 on every corner. And I'm just not willing to use the sanction of the state, you know, to become more wealthy. I don't care.
I think I'm more advocating ignoring the state. I'm certainly not advocating supporting the state in establishing regulation.
You see as a way of kind of getting it wider adoption as a subversive act and that they won't notice.
Well, yes. I mean, certainly. I mean, I think that if somebody goes to Washington and they set up a bunch of regulations and the result is a bunch of ATMs across the country that where you can put dollars in and get Bitcoin out,
yeah, with a handprint, yeah. An iris scan, stand here and get scanned, and those 2.6 million people you rounded up. I mean, you know, I'm just.
Well, I've already been fingerprinted, so I'm
you know, in my situation, yeah, that's my point. You know, for my grandchildren, I'm trying to prevent the vaccinations that we got. And my grandchildren, I'm trying to prevent the Social Security card number, everything that we got. I'm trying to prevent the requirement that they get, you know, iris scan to start kindergarten. Don't laugh. Okay. So mm-hmm, I'm trying to stop that, not trying to integrate into it, you know, and I understand.
No, I think that stuff goes away when you get into a system where they have to actually pay the bills. See, all that stuff. That's a nicety the state can afford because they get to lie about how much money they have.
I understand.
They can no longer lie about how much money they have, and they actually have to pay with hard, cold cash, whether it be gold or anything else. It's just that when under a gold system, they never use gold. They use promises of gold, and then they're back to printing promises of gold.
Yeah,
or printing
same
promises.
Thing.
Same thing. So as long as they can do that, then they can afford to put up these programs that do not produce any product that anybody wants. That's the key. If you want to look at how efficient the economy is, everyone in the economy working should be producing a product that somebody really wants. Does anybody really want to pay an accountant? What is the wonderful product you get from an accountant that you go home and you go, wow, I want to put that on my mantle?
Yeah,
you don't.
I didn't have to fill out the paperwork myself. I mean,
well,
you know.
Yeah, but that's a
but you're creating
really
paperwork.
I don't want to be ripped.
Now, your success, Paul, is a line on a, you know, an IRS form that says, you know, claim Bitcoin capital gains here. I mean, you know, that is your win. I mean, seriously. And I understand it. I don't mind it. Okay, I'll give you an example. Here's where we can cross, cross arms and, you know, walk down the aisle.
Sure,
okay,
sure,
here we go.
Sure.
Here we go.
Okay.
It's such a pleasure, and I'm glad you guys came. And I'm glad mm-hmm. we got to meet. And it was perfect atmosphere, the perfect right people at the perfect – it was perfect, okay? We, mm-hmm. we got to express ourselves. It's all good. Everybody's friendly. We had a good time. Have another gin and tonic, okay? So what happens is that there is a focus that I have and that you have. The mm-hmm. wide adoption of Bitcoin will serve both of our purposes, okay? You'll get wide adoption. It'll be ubiquitous. It'll be you'll be stinking rich, and you'll lay hands on the freedom community in some way.
If I brought up the fact that my goal is to get stinking rich, I mean, I
don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it either. as a side effect, and of course, you know, what do we
no,
do?
Okay, I want to bring that up. The reason I bring that up is that it cannot be dismissed as a motivation for a lot of people that they get one little country, all of a sudden Cyprus, you know, Greece, Italy says, screw this, and we're going Bitcoin or something. You just doubled your value. You tripled your value. Then another one. Then another one. Now, this is my point. That's going to happen anyway. And Patrick Byrne, that's why he was there. That's why he wanted to come. It's because he is the tip of that very spear. It is a wide, one of the largest retailers on the planet, comes in and says, hey, we got so much $1 billion in sales and we're going to do Bitcoin. So you go, wow, well, that didn't suck. Well, then there's the next one and the next one and the next one. It's going to happen anyway. Now, the thing is that if it does with the sanction of the man or something, you know, I'm not sure that. I just want to make sure that the blockchain survives regulation, that it survives the perception of what it really is. It's freedom, and you can't regulate. There's no central plan for freedom.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com, constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
When I signed up for the Free State Project,
already happened. Already. Okay. When we come back, this is where we'll go arm in arm down the aisle. Because this is what I'm building up to. Okay.
Sure.
There is a common goal. Now, and Donna told you the archive has this off-air stuff, right?
Right.
Okay. So now this is the common goal. Is, you know, the crushing, ignoring of, and the state doesn't matter. You know, it just doesn't matter. So that as we go through this stuff, you know, it's kind of, you know, your argument, probably the most powerful statement you can make is, well, if we get wide adoption, you know, regardless of how it happens and somebody does, because we all know, you know, in their opinion, like I would know, I'm not a coder, I just assume I believe you guys, you know, is that we all know it's not just going to funnel to Goldman Sachs and the CIA and the NSA and they go, oh, and it's ours now, okay? So I'm just going, all right, so we're assuming that, you know, this Bitcoin is open source enough and there's enough people to understand enough that go, no, it's what it is, okay? It's what it says it is. It's kind of this encryption thing and they can't, and this quantum computing may be a threat, but that's like 5 months away. So you know, so I understand, but you see, if there is a crack on it, if they do get everybody's password, if they can, you know, they're already starting to reclaim some with partial passwords and all that kind of stuff. You can kind of remember it's about your, you know, your cat or something, and we go and they find it. So I already know this. That's not what I focus on. Mm-hmm. It is the philosophy behind it, that it's represented by Bitcoin. It's not regulatable, okay?
Right.
So I'm going, okay. So what we want to do is we want wide adoption of not just Bitcoin, but the concept of Bitcoin, okay?
Right.
So I go, all right, I'm with you there. You're like, if we get the regulation and the adoption and, you know, Uncle Sam lays hands on it, or the Goldman Sachs makes a backroom deal with, and we'll support Bank of America, we'll go, and if you will not, and we get in fingerprint, you know, then you go, yeah, fine, cool, don't care. Because once it gets going, it's going to shoot to the moon. A bunch of Liberty guys are going to have a lot of wealth, and people are going to be able to free themselves, and the shift in power just took a dramatic turn and went squirrel. I mean, you know, the public, the squirrel, you know, I mean, boom, what? I get it. So
yeah,
when I run for political office, I run for Congress, I ran against John McCain, I run for Secretary of State, right. I don't vote. You know, I go up and they, and I just go, blah, blah. I use the political process to do, but I'm very upfront about it. Mm-hmm. When I do this and I come up and say, so then we all get on board and say, okay, as long as you understand that the goal is for ubiquitous adoption to attack the man at its core, and we're going to use them to help do it, you might have an argument. You see my point?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Freedom is the answer.
What's the question?
You're listening to Ernest Hancock. I want
to break from your lies. I'm just, you know, so I don't want to be messing around with the man. You know, I'm just, ew. But what do I do? You know, I get mad. I don't have legislators on. And what did I do? I had them on like a week before the summit, and all it did is piss me off. And they're BSing a lot of people. They're getting them involved in stuff. They're using them as cover for other things. They're, you know, and I see it a mile away, and you get the legislator to admit to it. Well, people don't know how it really works down here. And we, you know, and I go, what? You start doing, you know, regulation and regulators, and they go the regulate and database and the share of the Department of the Regulate, you know, and that the Bitcoin thing's not going to, they're going to try and regulate, and we know who to regulate. I mean, you know, I get it. You know, of course it's going to happen. I'm going to get to go neon. I told you so. But it doesn't matter if the goal was wide adoption so that it becomes like a bunch of new alt currency cash and people understand and free their mind and squirrel to the economy. Whoops, went that way. I get it. If we can come to an understanding of the people that want to do use that method, and the side effect is that their bitcoins become, you know, filthy, stinking, more valuable, and they're buying yachts and promising to serve the freedom community with more of whatever the hell, you know, I'm cool. I don't care. That's going to happen anyway. Might as well be good guys like Paul Snow doing it. I mean, I'd rather have, you know, some guys that even know how to spell libertarian than, you know what a voluntarist than not. But that has to be the open stated goal. For me just to do it because, well, it's got to be adopted because it'll be more and people and we'll make money and kind of, so, yeah? So freaking what? I just don't care. Why would we support and not every stinking day make fun of the guys that want regulating? Why? Why would we not just hammer the crap out of them, even whether we like them or not? Why? Because there's a benefit somewhere in there, according to Paul. Tell us the benefit, Paul.
Well, the benefit is Bitcoin adoption. Bitcoin itself can't be regulated, but Bitcoin's not just a currency. It's a payment system. But it's not just a payment system. It's even a way to make honest the trading of securities and titles to cars and houses and everything
which
else.
Which scares the crap out of them.
Which scares them. In fact, at the Bitcoin conference, we're having a hackathon by a bunch of people from MasterCoin and Ripple and Invictus and a whole bunch of others. And the whole point of the hackathon is to develop ways to trade other goods, other physical goods, even gold and silver, using blockchain technologies layered on Bitcoin or layered on other alternative currencies. And there's $1 million in prizes and contracts that are being put up by these companies to develop the next killer app on how you take a loan out through a distributed system with like-minded people who are supporting you. So eliminating essentially the banks and as being the choke point on economic activity.
Okay. This is a good night. All right, give me 90 seconds and I'll do this.
Okay.
In the year 2000, there was a gentleman named Dave Hollis that used some mind ran kind of philosophical thing, ran for president for the nomination against Barry Hess and Harry Brown for the Libertarian nomination in 2000. And all he did is he had a 1-800 number on the front of the podium all the time. And he'd just go 1-800, whatever. And his concept was, if you want the government to enforce, regulate, you know, whatever contract you have, what's the proper role of government? Well, you know, force and fraud and that kind of thing. Okay, fine. We have a court system. How do you pay for it? Whatever the value of the contract is, I rent a car, it's X amount. I buy a house, it's X amount. You can get it cheaper, but you don't go to the state later and say, hey, go get this guy, he screwed me. You want to have the protection of the state. You want them to enforce a contract. Then you pay a percentage of the whatever, and that's your, you know, government enforcement, pay for the court and law enforcement contract fee. Okay? It's just, okay, you get a choice. You're not forced to do it. But if you do, later if you want to do it, then you better pay full boat. Okay? So I'm going, hey, there's a voluntary way. It's if you go, no, I'm not going to fund, I don't, what is the role of government? I'm going to, okay, it's a voluntary funding. Here is a way to do it. And you go, okay, well, that's cool because you were thinking that way. Now I go, and we did a year ago, we went and bought at auction an acre and a half up in northern Arizona of just scrubland something for a test. We get this. We have it transferred. At three times they had to rewrite it. They transferred it into a trust that then sold it to another trust that we have. Then we put it up in the safe. We have the highest claim. We pay the taxes so we don't have to deal with that crap. And it's pretty low. It's like $50 a year or some crap like that. So I go and I put it in my safe. Who else has that land? Nobody. Who has the highest claim? Me. Who's got the paperwork? Me. Did I file it with the recorder? No. Who do I want to file it with? Whoever comes out of your hackathon with, you know, Bitland or Bit something to where I go, it's a GPS coordinate corner here, 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 and here. It's a bit, you know, square or something. Mine. It's freaking mine. Who recognizes that? We'll worry about that later. Okay, I need the protocol, something that can be easily done and recognized. Who recognizes Bitcoin? Well, it has the value of whatever somebody says it does. Well, the land. Okay, well, I'll trade it with a guy in Japan. This guy, you know, nobody else has a higher claim on it. I got the, you know, the title to it. It's mine. Mine. Do I have to register it with them? I register it with your hacker guys. They come up with something like that. Who recognizes it in the post-apocalyptic kind of we care and, you know, screw them? That's what matters. Do you see the philosophy behind it? I get it. But I don't, we're not going to go down that road if we're already trying to compromise with them. And maybe, you know, kind of we'll do a little bit and maybe we'll just regulate and kind of, you know, I'm going, if you're going to use the regulation as a mechanism to increase its adoption so you can ignore them.
Well, this isn't about regulation. I mean, in fact, one of the things about smart contracts is you can see the thing about Bitcoin is it's programmable money. That means that I can write a program that says this money goes to this guy when he has done these things, and we agree to it, and he's done it. So one of the big movements, and probably a good component of the hackathon, will be about how you define a contract that's self-regulating, that does not require a court to enforce or
It's escrow. It's title insurance. All that kind of stuff that people, it's all manipulated. And if the banks do it, they get a get out of jail free card and they can robo sign anything.
But if it's in the blockchain with all the various digital signatures required, and the money requires the digital signatures too, then you can actually put together agreements where you decide who gets to resolve your conflicts in the future, and that does not have to be a government. There's no government necessary, because the money, when you fulfill your contract and everyone agrees that you fulfilled your contract, you get paid. And not only do you get paid, nobody can stop you from getting paid. Nobody can step in and say, well, we'll validate that contract, because they won't have the digital signatures required against the blockchain to release the money.
The government will never, ever, ever, ever help in the adoption of this. I remember in the 90s when there was a gentleman.
Not intentionally.
Yeah.
Not intentionally. I don't care whether they.
I remember it was an assassination politic idea that somebody just conceptually came up with in the early 90s that said, hey, with this encryption, you could, like, you know, set a time, do it, and get paid with the crypto, whatever the heck, and this guy died, and you paid off, and it's a hitman thing. That's what they're worried about. You know, they're like, you know, not only are we not able to control the monetary thing, they could, like, get paid for targeting us. It'd be like this Bitcoin thing gets to a dollar amount, you know, that somebody will go whack you. Heck, there's guys will do it for $1,000. Oh, my God, it's 100,000. It's 100 million. And this guy's done. And they're going, hell no, we can't try. No!
Do they honestly think that the over $1.5 trillion illicit economy worldwide doesn't have contracts?
My point is, they're their own worst enemy. It's freedom versus whatever the hell they're doing. You know, this is one thing, Paul. We're going to run out. I don't have a guest in the next hour. Can you stay over? Or you got something you got to do?
Yes, I can.
Let's do that.
No, I can stay over.
Because we're not done. You know?
Okay.
And I don't feel that I gave you an opportunity to really express yourself because it's my show. Get over it. So, you know, the thing is that I'm going to make sure Paul gets to have it. But I wanted to make sure this got out because this is what the battle was at the summit. in a nice way. I mean, we're all liquored up and doing the after party and hanging and whatever and doing and coming up and kind of, everybody got to express themselves, you know? So it's all good. I love summits, man. A lot of stuff comes out of it. So think about it. Patrick Byrne, Cody Wilson, you know, Paul Snow, Raphael. We got Dobby Barker, Megan Kellison, Drew Fell. I mean, you know, did we have the boys in the one room? You know, this was it. Okay, so I'm going, okay, I can see what a big ad Paul was to the conference, to our summit. And his conference, we're going to go be spending time. I'm just hanging, man. I'm just, you know, hello, and just being, you know, part of enjoying the atmosphere. And go visit my father that, you know, he's in the hospital, that he's going to be okay. But he's in Texas there, so it all worked out. Good karma. So more with Paul Snow after the break, mid-hour break. It's like 8 minutes from now. We'll be right back and do it all over again. Okay, I'll go ahead and, you know, hit the restroom, kind of chill and whatever, and then I'll come back when I get done, and maybe we'll get to chat a little bit. We'll get to do another hour. And see, what I'm hoping will come out of this, and that you and I can you know, be all buds and everything, is that sure, we can come up with a focus, a project, a quantifiable, you know, and I'm looking for a dollar amount of Bitcoin. I don't give a crap. You know, that's not my point.
Sure, sure.
My
sure
thing is that if the community can come together and say, all right, they see your efforts in Bitcoin like me running for Congress or something, you know,
right,
they go, is he really running for Congress? You know, I mean, is he really
making a point?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, it's more than a point. See, it's a psyop. I don't do anything,
sure,
unless I already know I won before I started. I mean, I'm going to be making ground. It's just they think my win is something else. It's like votes. Okay, I give you an example. This is a good example. You'll understand my point. In 2004, I ran against John McCain because, in I think it was Chicago Tribune, he came out in a quote saying how libertarian he was. And I go,
no
effing way. That is no, hell no. John freaking McCain going out there saying, using the word libertarian. I'm going, you know, somebody who's going to, you know, anybody going to do it? You guys want to do it? I'll do it. Okay. I was just like, oh, I'm going to kick your ass. All right. So
sure,
I don't need to go up against him. It's just the philosophy of what he represents. I never attack them. That's how I'm able to keep doing this stuff. Ernie, how the hell are you not getting, because I don't go after individuals. They're just what
sure
they represent. I don't give a crap. You know, they're just a symptom of the problem. So during the campaign, he and I doing whatever and so on, you know, and it got interesting. But, you know, it was never a personal thing. When I was at the editorial board with the Arizona Republic there, you know, that was like a show. You know, they all came in for that one. And they go, well, Ernie, trying to get some controversy. You know, what do you think of John? Why, are you kidding me? I go, John's the man. I go, we're at war with this and this and this country. We got this economy thing. We got this and this and this. And he doesn't understand this. And I go, and he hasn't even had the answer to nothing. He doesn't even. He's finally coming out, and we're having these debates after they already started early voting. I go, oh, are you kidding me? He's the freaking man. And I go, but you guys suck. I go, it's the press that allows it. What, you think he would do this if you guys didn't let him? I go, you know, so who do I blame? I'm going to blame him? Hell no, I blame you. You know, so.
Right.
And then I go into the thing. Well, what happens is I would record a lot of that. We put it up on my camp, and then people got to see the inside of these editorial boards and what these guys really say and what their advocacies are and how they're leaning, because they knew he was going to run for president, and they ate, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going, you know, that's why I do it, is to have a philosophical argument, to have a what versus what. You're really an anarchist. Yeah. Compared to what? You're a fascist piece of whatever. That's my choice.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going, so that's what Bitcoin is. They go, well, it's really we can't track. And I go, yeah, compared to what? You know, this stupid bullshit Federal Reserve fractional kick our ass inflationary whatever. Seriously, that's your game? That's what you're offering? So you see, by doing the battle, I understand if your goal is freedom, really,
mm-hmm,
not out there advocating, you know, you should go vote. You know, dude, are you at a computer?
I can be. I'm right in this other room.
Okay, yeah. Do me a favor and you'll understand. This is how I run, you know, the camp. This is where the Lovolution logo came from. Okay.
Right.
You go in Google Image, go to Google Image, and when you're there, let me know.
I'm in Google.
Okay, type in still space voting question mark. Still voting, still space voting question mark, Google image, and tell me what you see.
Still voting question mark. Search images. I see Ernest Hancock, Secretary of State. This is the number one, and then the number two has the Rub Love.
Okay, that was a bumper sticker. It was also a big sign, like 4x5, and then a smaller sign. And when I did the bumper sticker, I had a little extra space, and I didn't want to waste it. And that Lovolution thing, I had seen, you know, Beatles and whatever crap. And I go, you know, let's do that. I want to do that. That became the most popular. But the Still Voting was voted the most popular campaign sign that year in the newspaper, okay? And it was me running for Secretary of State, and I'm going, V for Vendetta, I'm going, you're still voting? I mean, you see, it wasn't Secretary of State, or I just didn't then endorsed by Freedom's Feet. Well, that's really your site, yeah? So? Because I made a big deal out of it. How is it when it goes Arizona, endorsed by the Arizona Republic, or firefighters do this, or so and so? I go, the Arizona Republic's a business. Why can't I say endorsed by Napa Auto Parts?
I mean, you can. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, so that was the point I was making, and I'm going, and they go, that's what I go, yeah? So? Bite me. I don't give a crap what you guys think. You know? So the thing is that this still vote, what was my purpose? Was it to get them to go vote? Run for Secretary of State, we're going to vote right? I did that in 94, I ran, warning what was going to happen with all the computer crap. So I'm going, I've been doing this 25 years, and it's a psyop. That's why all this stuff comes out of Arizona. You know, we get more drug legalization, unrestricted concealed carry. Everybody's walking around in the freedom zone. Half the people are armed. You know? I mean, it's just, it's a culture thing. And I go after the culture, but if the Bitcoin merchant, regulatory, we need to get in conferencing kind of thing doesn't understand this concept of using the political process or the regulatory process or the government reaction process or whatever for a much larger understanding of freedom, then you're the enemy. You see my point?
Well, see, my point is the physics is the physics. If you've developed a system that gives you freedom, then if it doesn't matter that nobody implementing it understands that.
You know, I don't go at it that way. I want the people to understand. Well, you're really an anarchist. Yes.
Well, you have 100 years of the Federal Reserve, and for, you know, off and on for 100 years, you've had people oppose it. We have launched the first real threat to the Federal Reserve.
And I don't want that threat bastardized. See, it's not the code that's the threat. It's the philosophy behind it. It's what Patrick Byrne was saying. He's going, he goes, why? Why? He goes, it's peer-to-peer. Why do you want it's peer-to-peer? It was the philosophy behind it, not Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
Well, he's in trial against Goldman Sachs, you know, spending $20 million on a lawsuit just to expose all this stuff. $20 million.
Absolutely.
So why would he do Bitcoin and risk all of his kind of whatever? Because it was the right thing to do. He's one of those guys.
Yes. Yeah, and I completely agree. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. Bitcoin has been constructed to bribe the system into adoption. And so what? We're going to deny that? I mean, I'll rely on it.
Okay, no, that's where the discussion is. That's where, when we come back, you know, the audience and anybody listening to the archive, hello, you know, they get the goodie here, which I'm sure they will. But, you know, the you have to understand what my advocacy is.
Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure we're on the page, because then we can be buds, okay? Then we can go whip ass, you know, then we can go, you know, just go F them up, man, big time. You know, I'm all hip to that. All right, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
here on Declare Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. And you don't need me. Declare your independence. See how this side goes. Here, you ready? Here it goes. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form. And done. Next. You know, it's but it doesn't happen if you're going. I mean, if you want to do battle with the guys, you want to, you know, go up on the, you know, in the Coliseum on, you know, on the field and kind of, you know, and, you know, doink them on the chest and see what happens. I mean, you know, pace. You know, but the libertarians, we kind of been able, you know, we get permanent ballots. Status, and you're, you know, one of the three major parties, and all of a sudden, ooh, we're in. And here in Arizona, they tried to pass a law, which they rescinded the law. It goes to the ballot. They spent $500,000 of Democrats with the libertarians, the Democrats, because they know, you know, or at least perceive that a lot of their congressional seats, if libertarians aren't in there running, they lose them. So they're our new best friends, you know, and we're just like, yeah, whatever. You know, I just don't care because they don't understand what our real goal is. It's not to seek power, be power brokers or kingmakers or any of that crap. They imagine that in their own heads. That's their own freaking gremlin they got to deal with. What we're doing is we're showing that there is a big, giant block, free market, support of, mood, PR winning, we got advocacy for leave me aloneism. And it's not, you know, there is no central plan for freedom. And that includes advocating for Bitcoin. Now, Paul Snow is kind enough to stay on because we're having fun. So we're going to go ahead and he gets to talk this time. So what we're going to go ahead and do is I want us to be allies. Yes, I do understand. But if the focus is regulatory and we'll do and get and come in, then you start going, all these new guys are coming into Bitcoin. Well, of course you could do Bitcoin. We just need a little bit of retina scan. Okay. We need a DNA sample. We need a handprint on the ATM at the whatever, which is what's happening right now. Bitcoin ATM, see how I go up at handprint. Yay, I feel so much better. Okay? So this is the kind of which direction. Now, if the goal is like, you know, it's just ubiquitous adoption of, and it's going and it's to the moon and it's worldwide, and you want, you know, they go, ooh, the Amaro. Ooh, the, what can we do to stop the Amaro, Ernie? I got a state legislator, one of the best people, amazing politician that was just a stateswoman. She just like, you know, let's do go whip ass. And she did a bill that minted gold, silver, and copper here in Arizona. I'm sitting right over there. Donna, get one out of the top drawer. We Arizona mints their own copper for Arizona commemorative medallion. Okay? All right. Here we go. No, this is sitting one. But anyway, it looks like this. Okay, whatever. Doesn't matter. The point is that we have the ability to mint our own money here in Arizona. We don't call it money, commemorative medallion, okay? And we did that language on purpose because we knew that they wouldn't, you know, follow. But what did we get? The same thing with the Bitcoin deal. You know, we got them to mint. We got them to be part of it. We got them to do it. We snuck it in there. We showed it could be done. Then it's, you know, boom. Oh, we don't want the government to do it because they screw it up and charge a premium. Blah, 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 blah. But what happens? You show that it can be done. Bitcoin, same thing. But what's the goal? Is it to show that, you know, get it wide adoption and then it, you know, frees itself? And then Paul's on this show. If he takes that on, yes, let's work together. We can sit there. Yeah, go ahead and do whatever because the end result and the reason is wide adoption. It goes shooting through the roof and freedom. But if they have a regulator going, yeah, but Paul, on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, you said you're going to trick us and it jigs up. I mean, you know, is that what, are you fearful of that, Mr. Paul Snow?
I'm not afraid of it. The Bitcoin is it's got the freedom baked in. It's got the ability to conduct transactions without permission as a fundamental component of the code. And even if Bitcoin were to succumb somehow to government, there's a dozen other altcoins in the wings waiting to take its place, each one of them coded with more or less freedom. And the thing that we've been able to see already is anyone who codes an altcoin with a back door where somebody has centralized control, where somebody gets to inflate the coin however which way they want, that coin fails. Who wants that crap? Do you want money that somebody else gets a free pass to counterfeit if they just feel low on funds at the end of the month?
No, you don't want that. You want them, if they get low on funds, that they have to go out and work for it. And same with government. So it's all baked in. If we have adoption and we have Bitcoin in our hands, we've already won, even if somebody tries to pass some regulations along the way.
Well, see, on their way to a cashless society, and you go, okay, here it is. You guys wanted it, mm-hmm. here it is. And they go, well, not like that. You know, I mean, you know, so they're going to this cash, and then you'll hear from some of the people, you know, they even try this. I mean, they have tried it. They're going, well, see, the people, they want a cashless. They're going to the cashless. You're saying that we could do a cashless. They could do a cashless. See, that's not the point. It was the philosophy behind it.
You have to have a grounding in the history of money to understand what they mean when they're saying they want a cashless society. If you go back in the 1800s, you were plunking down gold coins to buy a suit, right? Then you get into the Federal Reserve, and you're giving them paper to buy the suit. But if you want to go to the bank, you can take your paper, and they're obligated to give you your gold coins. And then shortly after that, they passed laws that said, no, actually only governments have a right to come in with paper to get gold. And then further down the line, they said nobody can own gold at all. Now, that got rescinded in 71 by breaking the currency from gold completely. But the point was, there was a gradual series of steps where we pushed people further and further away from the basis of the monetary system. And when you start talking about the cashless society, you're talking about actually going one more step where you don't ever get to have paper money. You don't get to touch anything. Your wealth is totally defined by bank promises, and nobody gets to get anything else.
Well, it's even worse than that. The bank promises that they're going to let me have back. Oh, yeah, it's your money. You just can't have it right now. You know?
Right.
And we get 10% of it, Cyprus. Oh, and the government seized it.
If you go cashless, you can't even go to the bank and ask for $100. You're completely cut off.
This is the argument that I had with Peter Schiff. And, you know, I had him on since then, and we didn't even talk about it. I think we were talking about something else. You know, see if you can get Peter Schiff on, let's do the Bitcoin thing, would you, Donna? Let's just, you know, have it out on air. And we were at the Passport to Freedom thing, and it gets into Bitcoin. I wanted to come to Stephanie Murphy's defense because she did a good presentation on it. People are interested in it. And then at the last speaker, the whole thing, you know, Peter's, you know, just lambasting it. And I'm going, okay, I understand his arguments. But the thing that I wanted to bring to the, I wanted to make sure got up and they allowed me to express myself was this. The intrinsic value of Bitcoin is the gold and silver I'm willing to pay for its features. Okay. Now, Patrick Byrne liked that concept too. He's like, yep, that works for me. Okay. Because if I take my silver stacking and I want to go to country fill in the blank, I can't. I'm limited by all kinds of government rules of what I can take with me. I convert it to Bitcoin, I go there, I pick it out, I buy silver again, I just move my silver to wherever the heck I'm good. How much did it cost me to do that? I'm sure there's a transaction fee of something and a piece of and the convert back and forth and somebody got a cut. That is its intrinsic value, that cut.
How many lawyers does it take to change a light?
So that is the concept. See, this is where in this show, the value that I'm going to have out of this entire discussion is that concept, is to get people
Absolutely.
To start to embrace the concept that Bitcoin's intrinsic value is what it's worth to me in gold and silver to use its features. That is its value, okay? And I'm going, I don't know how that would not be its value. You know, and it may be even better value. I pay less, even better. You know?
Absolutely.
So somebody's going to come, and that's why we did the funding center the way we did. I still got to promote the funding center and do it. We're just, you know, I got 5 billion things to do. But that's where we're going with this. The funding center, it gives us the ability to contribute and show and support, but it's all based on trust. It's whether you trust the participants or not. I do, so I'm going, okay, so I'm putting my neck on the line. You know? You don't trust me or trust James Babb, don't give money. Okay, for the jury notification billboard thing. So this is, you know, what is its value, Bitcoin, to do that? The anonymity it gives me, the speed it gives me, the convenience it gives me. I trade one of the Bitcoins for silver from Roberts & Roberts. I go, hey, you know, I do it. You know, they're closed down. It's freaking ice storm in Pensacola. I can't get, you know, but you can send one email. Hell, I'll dial up, you know. I mean, you send me an email. Boom. There it is. I went blip. I go, okay, Bitcoin blip. He called me. I mean, this whole entire transaction, I swear it was less than 5 minutes. It could have been 3 minutes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It was just, you know, okay, how much you want? One Bitcoin. Well, okay, boop. It's this is how much. And I go, blip, and done. He calls me. I go, wow, that was easy. Done. You know, and this is while Federal Express for 2 days was not taking packages to deliver because of the weather in Florida.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm going, wow. So this, I understand the threat. What's its intrinsic value? That. Its features, its anonymity. You know, that's what PayPal started off. As young, you know, guys, yep. We're like going, yeah, baby, here we go. Oh, it's integrated into the next. You know, I don't care anymore. I mean, we use it, but then the percentages go up, and and then, no, you can't, and it's seized, and the man says, and whatever. And I'm going to, and then we get, we got to, it's like Mt. Gox was put there to make an example out of to try and stop Bitcoin. It's like they did it on purpose. You know what I'm going, yeah, okay. Silk Road purpose. Yeah, okay. Did it kill Bitcoin? No. Why? Because it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. And now Gox may rise again.
So what? I mean, I don't care.
But they're just one company. That's like saying that
they're a company. It doesn't need a company. That's my point.
That's exactly right.
Well, see, you're advocating for a company that's not going to get raided. You want to be a marijuana grower distributor that's got a pinky swear from the government to leave you alone.
No. What I'm saying is Mt. Gox is a company, just like somebody in the freedom movement it might go bad and fall by the wayside. They're just a company. They're just a group. I mean, the whole point about freedom and anarchy is the freedom to fail.
I'm doing some Doobie Brothers. Here we go.
Well, if you can't allow people to fail, you can't purge the system. I mean, that's why you have failure.
Yeah, no, see, that's why they don't want to make this transition. They want to be able to save their buddies and themselves and
their
Goldman suck me, okay?
Right.
This is when they do all this stuff on AIG, it was just to be able to take the money and pay off Goldman Sachs. Then they do all this robot. I mean, I've done shows after shows. I'm going, what did they got? You know, to compare with, but Bitcoin is, we won't be able to know if they buy kiddie porn or something. I go, that's it? Well, you're laying waste to the planet? You know, you guys, I'm just so, here we go.
Updates at updates.lrn.fm. That's updates.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
You know, if you understand what the battle is and all the people on the field and everything, you know, hopefully you can come to we can agree on something. Like what? Like what? Versus the man! Okay, I'm getting amped up on this stuff. You know, Paul Snow, is a pleasure, hanging out with you and Raphael. And I can't say Raphael's last name. What's his last name?
Rodriguez.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was something else. So Raphael Rodriguez. I can say that. Raphael had a good time, and I know you guys are kind of, you integrated well, you had a good time, there was no animosity, everybody was enjoying themselves, and it's all good. But, there was a differing philosophy, but I think you realize that they're not against what you're doing. That's not, they just don't care. It's just, it's the same thing as, like you would say, Bitcoin is insulated from government interaction the same way that those that advocate not having government interaction are insulated from anything you would do anyway. You see my point?
Yeah.
Can we have a common goal, a theme here? Is it just like the goal is, we need to get, ubiquitous adoption from the governments? And I'm going, you might as well just say we need to get ubiquitous adoption from Goldman Sachs.
Oh, I don't think we have to have ubiquitous
adoption from the government. We have to have ubiquitous use by the people. There's a big
you're trying to equate it to the same thing. You're saying to get that, you know, once we get, you know, a couple of governments or, you know, a line on the IRS form or something like that, then boy, we're going to use that to launch into whatever. And I'm going, do not think that they're not 15 gazillion steps ahead, already got a plan with a PR campaign of the terrorist, and they blew up the Golden Gate Bridge or the St. Louis Arch with a Bitcoin transfer of terrorist cell. What the hell? Okay.
Yeah. That's all possible, but I think unlikely. I mean, for one thing, we're at the conference. We're doing a lot with Jason King and the Bitcoin Not Bombs guys and Sean's Outpost. There's a huge amount of Bitcoin use that's just for good, for volunteering to address problems in the community on your own dime without government support, and Jason King right now is running an ultra marathon all the way across the United States from Miami, Florida, all the way to San Francisco. He's making a pit stop at the Texas Bitcoin Conference on March 5th and 6th to talk about how Bitcoin's used to do good. And that is the real story. And yes, the government will say it's all about drugs and crime and everything else. And we hear that all the time. In fact, you know, almost every article, from some mainstream group, seems like they have to say that in the first paragraph before they say whatever else they want to say.
Okay, I know about this. Megan was talking about it. Satoshi Forrest kind of thing is getting involved in this. They're doing it. You know, I get it. This is how I look at it. When you do these things to try and get it good PR, you want to, you know, people to know what's going on. You want them to understand how bad it is. You want to, we did the same thing in the 90s. Mm-hmm. We would get our government number. It'd be an arrest number. It'd be an initiative number, a campaign number, a lawsuit number. You get a number, and then the government has to, well, you know, here, filing of and this number, and they're in the system, in the game. We get to talk about what they do, and they'll twist it, and they're crazy and whatever. But you get the issue out, okay?
Right.
Then it got to the point to where, you know, with the internet, and certainly after the Levolution in the 07-08 series with Dr. Paul and everything, it got to where, oh, I get it. The media is the enemy. They are the face of this. They're the PR department for all these different entities that are screwing me. You know, so
certainly
screw them. We don't care. We're the new media. They're the old media. The media that's so last century, okay? And so, so it doesn't matter. When
That's
you
right.
have, and so now we get to the point where do you run? Yeah, we might not. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And the more you engage them, well, they would engage us and elevate us, and they were even arguing with us. Then it gets to the point to where if you're arguing with them or you're appealing to them or something, it diminishes you because who gives a crap what they think? You know, I don't care. So I'm going, at what point do we get, and it may not be now, the Texas Bitcoin Conference may have, you know, this kind of discussion. At what point does it get to where it diminishes the power of what you want to accomplish by giving a rip what Uncle Sam thinks? You see my point?
I do. But here's the analogy. Everybody's on the highway and there's no exits. There's been no exit in the monetary mechanism since 1913.
Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Right. Now, there used to be some exits because they were pre-existing when they first built the highway, and they slowly closed them down to the point now, about the only exit you have from monetary control is this little thing that you can withdraw cash. We were talking about it during the break. Now they want to talk about a cashless society where you don't even have that exit. And so somebody's got to build an exit. Bitcoin is the exit. Once you're off the highway, once you take the Bitcoin exit, then you have something that you can transact with anywhere in the world that nobody can say no to you.
You know what I see Bitcoin as? It's like Western Union for money.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, certainly. That's its intrinsic value, is how much silver and gold am I willing to give up to move it? Now, it's amazing.
Absolutely.
It's as little as it is. I don't have to put it in the van. They can't seize it. They can't. I mean, you know, but of course, you got to have somebody like Robertson Roberts or Amagi Metals or something like that that will do it. You know, Robertson, Tim Fry is the man. I mean, he's out on the lead on. He goes, yeah, I understand. Philosophically, it's like Patrick Byrne. You know, I put them in the same category. Philosophically, they understood. And they didn't worry about, you know, well, what? How's the government going to react? Or what regulation are they going to go, yeah, whatever, we'll worry about that then. We're just going to do it because it's like peace and freedom and stuff. You know, I'm going, these are the kind of people you want on your side. I just want to make sure that we want you on our side, that you're not, you know, advocating, you know, it gets to a point to where it's mucking up your relationship with, and they say, hey, man, you need to, you know, help wear a wire or something. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, that you get these, we would do everything and get all what you want if only we could get the yada, yada, yada. It's the philosophy behind it. The goal is not to get them to accept it. The goal is to make sure it doesn't matter, and that's already done. So I
that's
just
right.
So I understand. I just don't want to advocate. I go there. I don't want to get in arguments. I don't want to. It doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter.
I'm beginning to see the disconnect that we have. See, you have your philosophy and you have your goals and you're really pushing it. And me, I am a complete anarchist. If they want to make rules for themselves, I'm all for that. Sure, go make rules for yourself. I'm going to live by my rules, and it's my rules, and it's my level of honesty, my moral and ethical system that I live by. I don't get my moral and ethical system from the government. It wasn't issued to me from the Social Security Department.
Okay, I'm glad we're doing this because I want to make sure we just continue the introduction with the audience. It's on record. The guy's going. That everybody's going to be like, hey, you know, Paul said and Ernie said, we all said we're buddies. Okay, this is what needs to happen. How are we going to use this transition to free people?
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Okay, 1 minute before we come back. Anything you want to make sure we cover like we haven't covered? I mean, if there's a plan that you got, because you talking and doing this, and you know that, you know, Rafael is sitting there going, yeah, damn it, you know, you should say this or do this. You're probably getting text messages. Make sure you bring that up. You know, it's kind of, you know, is there some kind of a mission, a plan that by the end of this conference we can come up with and go whip ass?
Yeah, okay. Yes, we basically we're looking for Bitcoin adoption. That's our plan. Now, we haven't talked about the concert, and I would like to say something about that.
Okay, we'll do that. Well, we're showing the banner up in the while you're talking, rotating graphics, and that's one of them. So
okay,
they're seeing that, but we'll go ahead and talk about it. I'll bring that
up. Well, the main thing there is that we're encouraging people to get a wallet and buy something within, you know, minutes.
No. That's we'll talk about Athena and everything.
Sure.
Here we go.
I had to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
High school in 79. So around that time, you know, the economy's going. You have, the first Reagan term, and government is the problem, and the Rust Belt, and interest rates. My first car, I paid 23% interest on my little four-door Subaru at 20 years old. I mean, you know, what kind of moron am I? So, you know, this is, you know, I feel it. This whole atmosphere, you know, they closed down the steel plants. They were doing the Rust Belt things going on, manufacturing, shipping over, and it's all this government stuff. You know, so, and like Paul Snow says, he goes, hey, there's only one highway and here's the off-ramp. Well, there's been a lot of people screaming, there's plenty of off-ramp, just go buy gold and silver. And those guys that did that, you know, they're doing okay. You know, they'll be all right. They just kind of, you know, catch. They get them. Well, you didn't participate in retirement plan, Mr. Ron Paul, Dr. Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul. You didn't participate and you didn't. You missed all the games. He goes, yeah, I bought gold when it was like 100, 200 and something. They don't even start. So I'm going, he goes, I'm good. Don't worry about it. You know, and I'm going to be even better. You know, heck, my whole entire freaking progeny is going to, you know, freaking be better. Well, Paul Snow's done the same thing in Bitcoin. We'll all be better. So I'm going, you know, and there's a concert. You know, you're going, you know, you can't have a conference, certainly with libertarian-minded, anarchist-minded, Bitcoin-minded people that are having a part A, you know, so there's going to be part. Tell us about the concert, you know, before we run out of time.
Well, Caroline Malachi came to us. She was nominated for Grammys in 2011. Sings R&B and pop fusion sort of stuff, along with Tatiana Moroz and Jordan Page and a number of others. And basically, they all wanted to have the first Bitcoin concert or Bitcoin cert. Okay, and the idea is we can bring people in. They can, if they've never had a Bitcoin before, we can set them up with a wallet. We can provide them a way to buy them some Bitcoin, and then they can spend that Bitcoin to buy a concert ticket and all the concert
fees. Love
not
war and a golden rod.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean, I pushed a button to do it. I was telling Donna at this guy, I said, yeah, we're going to buy a bunch of shirts. We got, you know, silk screen. We do the Love Not War shirts. We'll do some other mm-hmm. Bitcoin stuff. We're going to bring it. I apologize. The button didn't go down.
No, go that's ahead. Okay. But the point is that all the tickets sales do go to Free Aid, which is one of the umbrella nonprofit organizations for Bitcoin. That Bitcoin.bombs and Sean's Outpost all.
We've been supporting you. You're here in the break. You know, we've been supporting. Hey, there was a cover of one of, you know, that was one of the covers that there was two covers that by some mistake didn't get printed, and that was one of them. It was the cover of Free Aid in the Future. They have Star Trek sickbay kind of stuff that we have. It's a beautiful cover. You know, I may make sure that gets done too. I should do that, and I'll bring that to the bat. That's a good reminder for
sure.
Me. So the concert is, you know, it's just to have fun. Because Tatiana came on and played her Bitcoin song that she did in Chile, and I thought that was awesome. You know, so there's a lot of symbiosis on this thing. But I'm do you feel the resistance from the Bitcoin we don't want and screw the government community? Or are they starting to embrace you? Or are you getting introduced? Are they starting to come to the common ground? What's up?
Well, I mean, I come to every party completely in agreement that whatever they're doing, I'm for. For another example of what we're doing at the concert, we're bringing the Bees Brothers in. The Bees Brothers are a couple young boys who started using Bitcoin. Well, first of all, they're homeschooled, and they wanted to learn about beekeeping. And so they got into beekeeping, and now they have honey. And then they started getting into selling the honey, and then they found Bitcoin, and they started selling it for Bitcoin. And their dad and the boys are coming, and they're going to be on a panel with some other kids who are also homeschooled and were able to use Bitcoin in their businesses. And you know, we've got a merchant panel that's going to of everybody that's using Bitcoin in their merchant brick and mortar stores and what their experiences are. I mean, so what I want to do, if you're a merchant, I want to talk to you and say, what can I do to help you? If you're a consumer, if you're a liberty guy, and you know, if you're a regulator and you want to get up in front of people and talk about what your ideas are, I'll give you a platform. Sure, go ahead.
Absolutely, let them. I'd be interested in who they send.
absolutely. And we have a 2020 format for this whole conference. And this is a radical departure from most conferences and a radical departure from the Bitcoin conferences. Any panel or any speaker gets to talk for 20 minutes, cut them off. Then they have to talk to the audience for 20 minutes, cut that off. Then you have 20 minutes to talk and gab until the next presentation. So it gives you a chance to talk amongst yourselves and network and whatnot, and get to your next presentation before before the next guy starts on his talk.
So you know that's a good point. You know, these conferences, the summit, you know, this kind of stuff is really what happens between everything.
Absolutely. And in fact, we have 2 days. We have the 5th and the 6th. The 5th, we're going to have a few presentations, but there's going to be an hour between every presentation. There's only going to be like 4 presentations on the 5th. So it's a complete networking day. If you go to a conference and you say to yourself, come back and you say, you know, I really enjoyed that, but I never got a chance to talk to, you know, this guy or that guy. There was not enough time, I really felt like I had to go to this next presentation, you know, and so you feel like you're back in elementary school, 5 minutes between classes, right? No talking, stand in line. No, the first day is a networking day where there's few presentations, but plenty of time to talk amongst yourselves and to see the exhibits and to get your questions answered on a one-to-one basis, because you'll never find a larger collection of Bitcoin experts willing to talk to you, no matter who you are, about whatever your problem is.
This is the one thing that Paul did for us. Athena, our graphic artist, she's now, I keep saying she's 18. She started 18. She's 20 now. And her sister is a couple of years younger, 18, Lana. Now, Greg is a farmer in Missouri, used to live here, and he went on Lone Prairie. They have never seen the inside of a school. They, you know, learned everything on their own. They do it. Great human beings. Now, what happened was they wanted to get a Bitcoin wallet. And I'm like, I'll hook you up. I'll get you. I was so busy. All of a sudden, Paul Snow's sitting over there with Athena getting her set up. She's very appreciative. You even sent her a little bit of some Bitcoin, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. Send her. I think about $1 worth of Bitcoin. Yeah.
Well, go ahead and talk about the process and what her excitement was, or did she get it? I hadn't even talked to her about it. I think they'll be coming later today or something. They're visiting Tucson. But go ahead and tell me. You know, this is the kind of thing you're hoping to do for a lot of people, just like her. Explain the process. What you went through.
Well, what she uses can't remember. I think it was a PC, and she had an iPhone, smartphone. And so the best wallet for her today is probably a blockchain.info wallet. You can go to blockchain.info. You can click the wallet and you can click the new create new wallet. I'll have to admit, to me, I find the wallet a little confusing, but having walked through it a number of times, I knew exactly, you know, what information she needed to write down on a piece of paper, you know, how to create a secure password and put that on paper so that it's never been typed, it's never been put on the internet for someone to use a keylogger to steal, and now she has her backup of her wallet and her password. And now she can spend her dollar if she wants to and go to a concert at the Texas Bitcoin concert.
You know, I tell you one thing is that I pay her in PayPal when she does covers, and you know, she might go, you know, next one, maybe a little bit of Bitcoin. And I'm going, wide
absolutely
adoption. We'll be right back. More with Paul Snow, Texas Bitcoin Conference coming up.
My name is Jacob Hornberger. I'm president of the Future of Freedom Foundation.
Okay, let's go ahead and we got the concert thing, we got Athena's thing, my adoption thing, and there's one thing that we've talked about it. I keep, you know, we got to have something we can come together together on something together. And I'm going, you know, like what? I mean, you're not going to get the Bitcoin guys that, you know, they're going to be going, and they should. They should be saying, you know, screw the government. We don't care about the government. F the government, you know.
Right.
And that was
right.
Like Tim Fry's and I's presentation. It was, you know, food, fuel, fish, foul, freedom, F in the man. You know, it's just the attitude, you know. So
right.
I'm just going,
absolutely.
Okay, so that attitude, it's like nobody wants to be in a club more than the club that won't have them as a member. You know?
Absolutely.
So I see the government is like, well, if they can't bully their way in or threaten their way in or whatever, well, we'll be nice. Let us kind of. And I saw this happen with InfraGuard. The FBI in 03, 04, I started doing shows. I could see what was happening. Oh, it's a voluntary. We need someone from your corporation of utility of whatever to come. We'll have a meeting and convince you how, you know, dangerous the threat is. And they'll let us put our FBI backdoor software on your. It's ours now. You know, and I just go, why you fall for this stuff? I mean, I'm just, you know, but it doesn't really matter. And then you get guys, they'll say, well, what happens when the electricity goes out and the pulse of this and everything? You know, aha, see, then you're, I'm going, they don't understand. You have to take out like every freaking computer that has the blockchain on it or something.
I mean,
they don't, get it, you know? So I'm just like, you know, you're too, never mind. You know, we're dealing with Generation Next that understands, you know, this decentralized, nobody's central command, okay?
Right.
They can't even comprehend it. That's why I focus on the philosophy of it. Because once you focus on the philosophy, it's not just Bitcoin. It's in every aspect of your life. It's like farmmatch.com. We need fresh food. We got people that are, you know, dying of cancer that needs to do juicing. They need, where do I get it? How I can't afford it. It's organic. You'll go farmmatch.com. We added a whole bunch of people buying it, a whole bunch of people growing and selling. It's you're just linked up. Started by who? Started by a kid that was dying from Crohn's disease that cured himself, and he didn't want to have to go 4 hours a week driving just to go get his stuff, and, you know, did the software. Around what? A philosophy of, I'm not looking for a regulation. I'm not looking for permission. I'm not in somebody's backyard. I went in, nobody made. We got dimeadozen.info. You go in, dime a dozen. That's a dime a dozen. I started realizing what that meant. A silver dime will get you a dozen of my eggs. You know what? I'm going, dime a dozen, not a problem. Probably get more for them, like $6 or something, but that's not the point. You know, is my point to make the money? No, it's to, it's to pass on this. It's going to be more. A dime is going to be worth $10, you know, any day now. But the thing is that I understand the philosophical power of the advocacy of the concept. And if that gets lost in your attempt, in this regulatory adoption, whatever, blah, 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 you lost. You know, you already lost before you started. So I'm trying to see where we can overlap and have, okay, yeah, have them rigged up, doesn't matter. But then you're going to, you know, like in San Jose, they were going, hey, you know, man, keep it down. You know, we don't want the regulators to know they can't regulate it.
Yeah, well, they already know. They're not that stupid.
All right. So,
okay, I'll take that back. At least some of them know.
Okay, so you can see my point. I'm trying to find where we can, you know, there's some commonality instead of being at each other all the time.
Well, right. I think we're totally on. I mean, to me,
we'll
it
see.
Feels,
here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
Come an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. And that's what it's all about. It's just that you can see the theme. I mean, it's so good of Paul to, you know, spend this extra time with us, because this is the discussion. This is it. 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 And at the Freedom Summit, it really came out in a very nice, polite, and, you know, everybody got to express themselves way on several occasions. And you couldn't not have that happen when you had, you know, Patrick Byrne, one of the largest retailers, you know, enthusiastically taking Bitcoin for the right reasons, because it's a peer-to-peer thing. It supports his Austrian economics and understanding of the economy and the man and regulating as he's doing battle with the SEC and the government and the stock exchange and the Goldman Sachs and everything. And for $20 million, he says he spent on this lawsuit, $20 million for you. And him, I'm sure he did it for his own, you know, personal rare, but it's a philosophical battle for him. He understands what this is. It is a philosophical battle. They're being bad. You know, the government's bad. You know, freedom good, government bad, 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 bad. What are we going to do? Add another bad? You know, I mean, I get it. They're bad. All right. So on steroids, bad. I mean, you know, it's kind of, yeah, but they're really, yeah, they're bad. I get it. Did you know that? Yeah, they're bad. Now, I understand. So I don't want to deal with these guys. I don't, you know, I'm like, you know, ew, you know, just go away. But the thing is that, is there something that we can we come to an agreement on to where, okay, if they're going to be there, it's like you put them in a dunce cap over in the corner and say, you just sit here and learn something, shut up. You know, and then all of a sudden you start to have people get in. The culture demands this. People get in the office or people get in these positions. Oh, my goodness, it might eliminate a department or something. You know, probably not. But it doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter because the system is crashing. They're screaming for legitimacy. They're screaming for we can be good. They're screaming for let us play. They're screaming for, I tell you what it is. Oh, Paul, this is perfect. This is perfect. This is perfect. Okay, this is what's going on. When you have, and you're at a racetrack, okay? So yep. Let's imagine you have the NASCAR race going or Formula, whatever the heck it goes on there. You
Formula
got
One, yeah.
So what happens? They have the Formula One, or it's certainly NASCAR, or it's the Super Bowl or something. And here comes the fighter jets. It's the Blue Angels. It's the Thunderbirds. It's the, here in Arizona, we had the B-2 bomber flying around. I'm like, mm-hmm. What the hell is that? B-2 bomber with a fighter escort. It was opening day of baseball season or some crap, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, what the hell is it? And I'm going, why do they do that? Is it because they want to give legitimacy to NASCAR or Texas Bitcoin Conference? Is it because they're surveilling you? No. It's because it gives them credibility. They're going to want to be associated with Bitcoin so that they get some credibility, so that they are relevant. That's where it's going. And I'm just like, why would I want to give them any kind of relevance? Why would I want to give them any kind of, you know, props? Why would I want to do, you know, to what end? So I'm wondering, you know, how this is, you know, why are you giving them any credibility? It serves us in what way?
Oh, I believe in all in a society where all voices are heard. And I think that in a society where all voices are heard, and all voices have to answer the questions that arise, that dishonesty and corruption is dealt with. You don't eliminate dishonesty and corruption because that's kind of a human attribute. We get too much power, we get too much money, somehow or other we just don't seem to do well and we become corrupt and we become dishonest.
Because you have the ring. I will do good with the ring.
Yeah. Well, remember the presentation. I forget about which guy. He was talking about the fact that when people believe that their authority is legitimate, then they become more dishonest. And if they become, they feel less legitimate, then they are more honest.
Exactly. Okay? Authoritarian sociopathy. That was kind of the point. Whenever they question their own legitimacy, which is what Bitcoin does, you know, all of a sudden they're, no, we'll regulate nicely.
Mm-hmm. But you see, if you push them off their game, if there is something that to which they must be accountable for, and when a bank says, you know, we have this many reserves, today you just have to take their word for it. Well, they must have that many reserves. Fort Knox says, we have this much gold. You have to take their word for it. Why? Because they won't let you look. They're not going to let you audit. With Bitcoin, your coin is on the blockchain. When I say to a bank, you know, you claim you have these reserves of X number of Bitcoin, let me see your address. You know, show it to me. I mean, it's got to be in the blockchain. That doesn't, just because I see it doesn't mean I can touch it, but it does mean that I can validate and verify that you have it.
So what are they going to do? They're going to look at this as you're screaming for, you know, this particular, they go, you know what? Thanks for playing. We put the best minds on it, and we got the credibility of Bank of America and Goldman Sachs and whoever the hell else went in. They did their own. Hey, J.P. Morgan was trying to get a patent on it.
Sure, you know, sure. They come up with a
cryptocurrency, and they say, and this is the state-approved, you can pay your tax and kind of interface with Bitcoin, right. Here it is in this one, we compete.
Their currency and their patent was on a centralized money.
Blah, blah, blah. So what? That's not my point. Bitcoin. They're going to come up with the entire force of the government and regulatory power of Hammer Slam and say, it's us. We got the one. Mm-hmm. You want it? Here it is. And we just put our seal of Uncle Sam on it.
Well, you ask why I want to put the regulators up. I want to put the regulators up so that people can ask them questions. And when people ask them questions, hopefully some George Carlin reanimates or reincarnations will stand up and give them the what for. You know, you have to answer
you have to answer the questions. And that's why we have that 20-20 format. Yeah, they get to talk for 20 minutes, but we get to question them for 20
minutes. I'm hip.
And so if you give people the forums to talk, but at the same time require them to answer questions, to defend their positions, then you reveal the truth. The goal is the truth. The goal is honesty. The goal is adoption. And I believe that the best mechanism I have in the financial world and the financial system to promote honesty, openness, transparency is Bitcoin, which is why I'm a Bitcoin advocate. But it's also why I'm not afraid of the regulators. I mean, it's like saying, I'm afraid of the dark, so I don't want to use this flashlight. See, I think Bitcoin's flashlight. It's light.
Okay,
bring it into the room, it lightens things up.
You know, also, you guys, you came from Germany when you came to the summit. You know,
yeah,
I mean, you've been doing. We hadn't even talked about the international stuff. I don't know.
Right.
During the break, you think I might be able to convince them to go a third hour?
Oh, no. I can go a third hour.
Yes.
I can go a third hour.
It's Bitcoin Day. You know, I've only done this how many times? Probably 3-4 times that we just, you know, kept somebody the whole 3 hours and just yuck. But it's Bitcoin Day. Because you know all the Bitcoin community out there, you know, 30 and Paul and after and the summit and everything. We didn't even talk about, you know, some of the stuff that Cody had to say and, you know, where you guys are. And he's going to be speaking at the Texas Bitcoin, you know, conference. And then you got, you know, Patrick Byrne, what he had to say. You know, and we got Davi, you know, what they had to say. And, you know, Megan, what they had to say. And you're going to have Stephanie Murphy up there speaking. What's she going to have to say? I mean, there's a whole bunch of say. And we're going to be able to
say.
We're going to duke it out right here. And I guarantee they're going to go to the Texas Bitcoin Conference, and I heard you and Ernie talk, and off-the-air talk, and you said, and what about, and this, and parsing every sentence of the whatever. I already did it with Paul. I grilled the living crap out of him for hours, all right? We're at the party, we're talking, but we haven't even got into Rafael Rodriguez's, you know, position on a lot of this stuff. And I could see he was kind of holding some of his comments. He's like, I don't think that's going to go with these guys or not. We'll see.
Rafael is a big, big freedom guy.
No, absolutely. I definitely got that impression. But he was he was being judicious, man. I'm just going to sit here and listen for a little bit and, you know, not say something kind of whatever. And you were a little bit more, of course we want regulation. It's all good, man.
I'm willing to step in it. That's all I'm saying.
So then they went to Germany. Well, what happened? Mm-hmm. They just came from Germany going to the Freedom Summit, had to change their tickets, cost $1 billion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's your problem, not mine. So, but the point is, I appreciate you doing it. It was worth you coming, in my imagination. So when we come back, we'll go ahead and talk about the international efforts of this. So we kind of beat that horse, you know, sitting there coughing up blood on this other stuff. But how's it being perceived in Europe? You know, are there other regulators? Do we have to have the U.S. government do it? What if we don't care? What if the U.S. government does that? I break with thee, and you throw a dog poop on your shoes. Then you're really broken up. That's Steve Martin thing. So I am like, I'm excited. You know, I'm looking forward to going. I think we're going to, you know, the let there be dark people. You know, we're like, yay, they're going to be represented. The other guys, it'll all come out. But how is the lamestream media, the media so last century, going to report on it? Don't know. Don't care. But they will. I guarantee it. We'll be right back after this break.
People of Earth, prepare yourself.
Okay, we come in at 6 after, and we'll go ahead and, you know, take a break, whatever I need to.
Right. Well,
and then what we'll go ahead and do when we come back, we'll go ahead and we'll keep going along this line, but we'll focus more on the international efforts and your traveling and what the others say, and it gets to a point to where it doesn't matter what the U.S. says, and Cyprus is now Bitcoin for all we know. You know, so we'll talk about that when we come back 6 after. Okay.
Okay, and I need to, I'm going to put you on hold. I need to call another appointment and push it off, but it's not a problem.
That's fine, 6 after. All right, cool.
Okay, all right, bye.
Thousands took to the streets to protest the NYPD's Stop and Kiss program. New Yorkers who have been stopped often say the encounters feel extremely intrusive.
Going through my pockets, throwing my stuff on the ground, kissing me on my neck and face. They push me up against the wall and start nibbling on my ear.
Joining us now is legal analyst Susan Hughes and Mark Brennan, a former police officer who has defended the Stop and Kiss program.
Look, it's one thing to kiss someone who you think might commit a crime, but these officers are just kissing people left and right with no probable cause.
If you've got nothing to hide, then it's not a problem. They just stop, ask where you're going, give you a gentle kiss or two, and let you go.
Mark, there have been examples, public examples, where these procedures have just gone too far. Let's take a look at a disturbing cell phone video that's been making the rounds on the internet.
Stop! Put your hands on your head.
Oh, come on, man. They just kissed me 2 blocks ago. Come on, man. I didn't do anything.
Shut the f*** up and let me kiss you.
Look, the cops can either kiss people now before there's violence, or they can be kissing a bunch of dead bodies at a crime scene.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
A rebellion has begun! Up here in the head, and we're discussing it. You know, I told Paul, I haven't done a 3-hour thing in a long time. You know when the last time I did? I think it was Jeffrey Tucker. You know, we got in the same kind of conversation, got going. There was not everything said. We're going to keep going until we're all both done, exhausted on, and kind of, you know, and he's going to be speaking at the Texas Bitcoin Conference too, isn't he, Paul?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have Jeffrey Tucker as well.
You know, so I get it. We've met before and kind of we just, you know, weren't friends and everybody said we should kind of, so we did 3-hour, did just like this. And now I'm looking forward to, you know, hugging on him and saying, yo, what's up? I'm a big hugger. Okay. So this is, and it's good. And you can tell, I mean, sometimes, you know, if I'm not hugging on you, it's because you know, ew. You know, so it's like, you know, but I get all that new agey aura feeling kind of whatever, it's an excuse to hug, especially to women, you know, and I just like, ooh, but it goes to all you good looking guys too, and all the ugly guys and all the guys. But you know who's beautiful to me? Those that understand this philosophical leave me aloneism. You know, it's just, and my family and I embrace, and there's sometimes, you know, and there's been times, you know, even, you know, people at the summers, my wife comes up and she goes, I just want, you know, because I count on her radar. She goes like that. That guy I don't like. All right. I don't like. Okay. I know. I get it. I don't like him. I get it. What do you want me to do? Put a sign on him? I mean, you know, I was like, okay. So it was just a, you know, neo kind of guy that was there to do whatever. But the thing is that, you know, I really trust my wife's input on this. She likes you. You're family, man. It's just, you know, join the club. So she had nice things to say about you. So you're good. So the thing is that I do want to get into this concept, what we're doing. That in this hour, we want to talk about, you know, other countries around the world. You've been traveling a lot.
Sure.
Because this wide adoption in whatever way you think is the, and I'm trying to encourage this levolution, the generation next, all that is the adoption. You're not going to get the older guys to do it en masse anyway. They're like, I don't get it, you know? So if you're trying to wrap it in some government cheese or something to make it to where it, you know, they get the pill, you know, I'm just going, I don't see that is going to appeal to the young. It may give you a blip up front and first, but it kind of taints you a little bit. So we need to have some kind of a common mission that you're in the same boat with us and we're doing this. How long is this? It's only 34 seconds. It's just a scene from Braveheart that I use sometimes. And let's see what we get out of this. I haven't heard it in a long time.
Sure.
Let's do this.
Father?
Come in.
A rebellion has begun.
Under whom?
A commoner. named William Wallace.
He will embrace this rebellion, support it from our lands in the north. I will gain English favor by condemning it and ordering it opposed from our lands in the south. Sit down. Stay a while.
You know, and this is what I keep thinking of whenever, you know, this Bitcoin thing, kind of regulator stuff, you know. Yeah. Yeah, rebellion has begun. Ooh, well. Well, it's a real rebellion. Bitcoin represents a big rebellion. You'll support it from here. I'll oppose it from here. We'll get this regulatory guy here. They'll do that. It's just deals are being made, and I can feel it. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going, as you're going internationally and traveling around, you know, sit down. Stay a while. And you're sitting down at that table talking to these guys. Tell us all about it behind the scenes. Don't be holding back on me. Go.
Well, Bitcoin is it represents a lot of different things to different people. If I go and I'm talking to people who have you know, come from places like Argentina and whatnot, where the currency is failing, or you know, Russia, where you know their official inflation rate 7%, but a lot of people estimate it's a lot higher than that, as much as 20%. Then Bitcoin presents a way to take your work, the value that you've earned in the economic system, and put it someplace where they're not seeing any inflation, where your work can hold value. And not only that, I can then trade it with other countries, despite any kinds of currency controls, because there are no currency controls where there is no centralization. And so it is, for a variety of reasons in a variety of countries, it's just growing quite a bit.
Well, I mean, who are you talking to? I mean, are you talking to other libertarians? You're seeking out the anarchist? You're, you know, looking for the businessman? Or you're looking for, what government agent with a shiny badge is willing to talk to me? I mean, who are you talking to?
Well, I've really not had many conversations with actual government entities. Most of the people that show up at the Bitcoin conference are... It closest to that would be lawyers who have experience working with regulators, and maybe some companies who talk about their experience working with government. I think government, for the most part, it has stayed away from these conferences because, you know, they know as a government official, if they say something, they may be, you know, kind of held accountable.
Oh,
or
seriously, you think they're staying away?
Well, yeah, they absolutely are staying away from the conferences.
No, as we're an official, you just sat there and said, oh, the lawyers that work with and interface that is the government.
Yeah, but I would like to get actual people who have actual signing and direct input into legislation and whatnot there. That we're working really hard to get some legislators, at least Texas legislators, at our conference, and a couple of leads look really good. And if we can get Steve Stevenson, who's accepting Bitcoin in his Senate race, to come, I mean, I think that's golden, because then he can talk about not just you know, the regulation side, but what it means to accept a digital currency.
Oh,
in a
you're
race.
Killing me. Okay, this is. I tell you what, we're going to do. I mean, this is when you have this attitude, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. Barry Hess, running for governor for the fourth time, ran against Jan Napolitano twice. Up there,
right.
They go, well, what's your position on medical marijuana or marijuana legalized, right, decriminalizing? I don't know. I think we should light up a fatty and talk about it, okay? I mean, you know, this is the kind of campaigns that we do, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So because Arizona, we've been such buttheads. I was county chairman of the Libertarian Party back in the 90s and everything. We get in the debates. I mean, when we're televised, we go whip ass. My senior editor, Pal Gamble, that was at the summit, he ran and got like, I don't know, 7-8%, and it goes to the Democrat, and they're all freaking out and kind of, I go, look, you, the Democrats will win if you guys go, God, you're confusing me with someone that thinks there's a freaking difference.
Absolutely.
That's your argument? You know, I'm going, shut up. So, what do we do? Here comes Barry Hass running the gimp, and you'll be the governor thing. Oh, it's going to be a big, giant QR code, Bitcoin kind of donate, taking it right here. And you can go and see how much it is. You just go, okay, how much is that Bitcoin worth that? I don't know. It's more and more and more and more and more. And what are they going to do with it? I don't know. You know, where's on the forum you want to do it? I'm going, I dare you. I double, triple, quadruple dare you to say that I got to put it on a forum. Now you just made it legitimized, you know. But you sure you want to do that? You want to play? That's how we do it. I'm not looking for some form to do it. Make them make me put it on a form. I go, it's not a form. It's First Amendment. Bite me. That's what it is.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Free Speech Me is a free software plugin for Firefox that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. You can register a .bit domain today using the inexpensive cryptocurrency Namecoin. .bit domains are extremely resistant to being shut down or hijacked by governments, corporations, or criminals. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to effortlessly get to your site using your .bit address and our Free Speech Me plugin. Go right now to freespeechme.org.
Okay, when we come back, it's a minute and 18 seconds movie clip I'm going to do, kind of help me make my point, and then we'll do it. And then I got to show some 3D printed parts and take 10 seconds for that sometime during here to say I did, and then we'll continue it, all right?
All right. Sounds great.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
This Wallace. He doesn't even have a knighthood, but he fights with passion, and he inspires.
And you wish to charge off and fight as he did, eh? So would I, eh?
Well, maybe it's time.
It is time to survive. You're the 17th Robert Bruce. The 16 before you passed you land and title because they didn't charge in. Call a meeting of the nobles.
But they do nothing but talk.
Rightly so. They're as rich in English titles and lands as they are in Scottish, just as we are. You admire this man, this William Wallace. Uncompromising men are easier to admire. His courage, so does a dog. But it is exactly the ability to compromise that makes a man noble. And understand this. Edward Longshanks is the most ruthless king ever to sit on the throne of England. And none of us, and nothing of Scotland will remain, unless we are as ruthless. Give ear to our nobles. Knowing their minds is the key to the throne.
You know, somehow the Texas Bitcoin Conference just comes to mind with that clip, you know what I mean? You know, so it's like, you know, what role are you playing? Of course, they got things to lose and stuff to say, and it's kind of, you know their mind, and which side do you take? You'll oppose it from the north, and I'll support it from the south, or vice versa, whatever. I mean, it's just, it's negotiation. And this always happens, I understand. But if you get too close and you get, instead of, you're kind of left out in the wilderness, and all of a sudden you get beat over the head and drug in, and you're in a cell somewhere. And I'm just like, you know, where are the sides? Where is the battle line? Where is the clean line? And if you muddy that line too much, you're not really sure what you were fighting for to begin with. You see my point?
Absolutely.
All right. So as you're dealing with all these guys around the world, you know, what role are you playing here? I mean, who are you giving? Are you the nobles that's trying to, you know, work a deal? Or are you the guy that's trying to survive Longshanks? You know, I doubt you're Longshanks. That's the federal government and they, them, those, and the banking, Federal Reserve, whatever. There's Longshanks. You know, they wouldn't kill people or anything. That would be wrong. I mean, you know, this is, of course they will. This is, they're going to do whatever they are going to do. But the blockchain is out. And I'm going, right. So now what? I mean, so well, talk about this as your meetings with other countries.
Well, I think it's a worldwide phenomenon. The thing is we think that we don't like our banks and our taxes and our government, and it's worldwide. There's a desire for freedom everywhere in around the world. There's a desire for having financial independence around the world, and that independence doesn't necessarily mean you're wealthy. Financial independence means that you get to spend your money with, you know, engage in transactions with whom you want to engage with in transactions with. And the Bitcoin 2.0, you know, the trading of assets over blockchain, where you're not relying on the county register to register your property. You just own your property because you can dadgum prove you own your property.
I got a piece of paper sitting in my safe, trust of, and kind of never filed with the county waiting for this very point, because I saw years ago when this first started, I knew what it meant. It meant that you are able to eliminate the entire functions of government that are there to be the record holder of. And then they go, and to do the record, you have to have filed this when you transfer of and the mortgage and the whatever. And they go, you know what? The banks, we're just going to create this MERS thing. We're just going to pinky swear. We kind of sorted and we did it and traded and didn't, and we don't know who owns and whatever. And they go,
yeah, exactly.
So then they say, what? You want us to enforce property rights and you get to foreclose on this? Show us the note. Show us the thing. Show us, oh, we robo-signed and we kind of made it up and as we went along and everything, and oh, you got immunity. We're not prosecuting. It's all good. Then never mind. And I go,
right.
Are you freaking? That's my option? That's what you're holding up as government's role? That's it? Well, F you, let's go to something else. So I got a piece of property, acre and a half, just sitting right here waiting to log it with some block something, you know, bit, whatever the hell, waiting on you now.
Sure. And so if you can inject honesty, that's a worldwide desire. It crosses all cultural boundaries, all country boundaries, all ethnic boundaries. Everyone somewhere deep down inside wants to be free. Now, the banks want to be free to take your money. And I get that. Why wouldn't they? But, the government would like to be free to print as much paper as they want to fund any shortfalls they have in their budgets. And I get that. But ultimately, why wouldn't I want to participate in a system where, you know, honesty is a integral part of transactions.
Oh, you know, this, I just want people to I mean, let me put this scenario up and you can say whether I'm crazy or not. There is going to be an entity that's going to do an index or derive from an ETF of the on the stock market interface with Bitcoin of you can invest in retirement kind of something. I mean, they're going to do exactly the same thing to Bitcoin that they did to gold. They turned gold into paper. How'd they do that? This leasing thing and this kind of thing, and it's not in the vault thing, and it's whatever thing. So if you can create any kind of, hell, you could have your own Bitcoin, you know, leveraging of borrowing of the whatever it's going to, because it's, because they can. You know, somebody can. They're going to.
But there is a difference. And here's one difference. If I set up an ETF fund and I say I have X amount of Bitcoin, right, I can be audited by anyone real time by simply releasing the addresses in the blockchain where I'm holding that.
No, that's not even my point.
Bitcoin.
They'll make it legal. It's like the Federal Reserve. What, you think we don't know fractional reserve banking? It's legal. No.
Right.
You know what you do? You just keep 10% and then 90% you relend and they go, yeah, so?
Well, that's true, but I can look and I can see that. Now, the other problem
they'll go,
with
Bitcoin, we did it. We did it this much. We did it again. We did it another time.
But the way fractional reserve banking works is I lend you not money, but bank promises. But see, Bitcoin itself transfers easier, faster, and more efficiently than the bank promises, which means that it's not just the thing underneath the system. It becomes the thing that is the payment system on top. That's why it enforces honesty, because if someone wants to invest in a fund where they're given Bitcoin promises, they will know that that's what they've invested in.
No, they'll know that they, yeah, promise of it's
promises of
leveraged 10 times, 20 times. It's a promise. I pinky swear promise, it's leveraged. You go, oh, okay.
Well, but they know that they have a totally leveraged thing.
No, I understand. My point is that this is where you get to where it's the philosophy behind it is not the leveraging. Now, they can use it as a tool of leveraging, but if you don't have the philosophy behind it, the point that we're doing this is to not be able to leverage it. Well, you going to make a law say we can't leverage it? No, go ahead, knock yourself out. But the thing is we need to have the philosophy from the beginning, the understanding of what this is, or you just created another monster.
But even if you're not a libertarian, you're going to want your hard Bitcoin at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, we're going to talk about it more. I got to show you this. All right, wait. Here it is. Oh, I promised you yesterday. It's a 3D representation of Charles Pax and his girlfriend. We printed it out at the Freedom Summit. This is cool. I mean, cases, you know, for a gizmo kind of man. This stuff is durable.
Did you know that Free Aid is a mutual aid, educational, and networking organization? At Free Aid, we support volunteers who provide first aid. We do outreach to the public about health and safety, and we bring together medically skilled freedom lovers. Free Aid is made possible by your generous support. Donors can receive great gifts like first aid kits, t-shirts, silver dime cards, and hoodies. The Free Aid Silver Dime Card Project is sponsored in part by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Freedom's Phoenix, and Don't Tread on Meme. Visit fr33aid.com.
Okay, when we come back, I'm going to be doing another Braveheart thing.
I'll come to fetch you to a meeting. What kind of meeting? The secret kind.
Okay, so I'm going to use that, and then, of course, right back into this the same stuff. And because that's one thing I didn't even really think about. I'm going, once it gets adopted as, okay, it's, you know, kind of on some government form, well, I would be shocked if they don't already have an ETF design software doing partial, turn it into paper kind of whatever stock market thing.
Yeah, well, that's what the Winklevoss twins are trying to do, is create an ETF fund, and Second Market is putting together a fund.
Oh shit, they already did it.
Well, yeah. Well, Second Market's fund is not an ETF. The Winklevoss want an ETF.
Of course they do.
And there's another one. Fortress is putting together a Bitcoin fund, and some think that that they've purchased $140 million worth of Bitcoin so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got these guys in Wall Street.
You know,
they're being bribed into the system. I mean, that's the way it's designed. It's designed to bribe these guys in.
Well, what the hell are you doing?
Well, I'm helping them along. I mean, why not?
That's what we're talking about. Winklevoss and Fortress, and what was the other one?
Second Markets.
Second Markets. You see, the point, when you understand the philosophy and the mechanism and the ability and they and them, those doing whatever they're going to do, see, I don't even need to look. I know they're going to do this stuff. They haven't. I would have been kind of surprised if they hadn't already. What I am surprised is that they were so open about it. Everybody knows already, except me. You know. But the so my thing is I'm going, look, this is of course this is going to happen. Of course. You know, this, of course. And if you don't understand the philosophical you're trying to get away from the beginning, you just exchange it for the same shit.
Right.
You know, so then what will happen is they always do, you know, possession is a crime, and they'll go, do you possess Bitcoin that's not government approved, this little tag serial number on the end that we added as the app of can go through the banking whatever thing? I mean, you know, I guarantee freaking, why? Because they can.
Well, but they can't, because it's a global currency, so that means that even if you got compliance in the U.S., you wouldn't get compliance in Australia or New Zealand or this week.
Okay? All right, we'll talk about it. Here we go.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I come to fetch you to a meeting.
What kind of meeting?
The secret kind.
Your meetings are a waste of time, Campbell.
Your father was a fighter and a patriot.
I know who my father was. I came back home to raise crops and, God willing, a family. If I can live in peace, I will.
God, you say you want to stay out of the troubles?
Aye.
If you can prove it, you may court my daughter. Until you prove it, my answer's no.
No.
No, Wallace, no.
Didn't I just prove it?
No!
No.
No!
No! You know, date my daughter, who? Lady Liberty or Justice or something? You know, I want to do big, giant, wet one. Okay? Oh, you're not able to date my daughter if you can't prove you want to stay out of the troubles. Is Mr. Paul Snow proving he's going to stay out of the troubles? Or is he going to get in the middle of them doing court and kind of, you know, help me out, Paul, man. You know, where are we at?
Good question.
Well, I mean, we were talking off air. We were talking about Winklevoss guys and what they're trying to do. Because I said, look, I can see what's going to happen. They're already going to try, like they turned gold into paper with this leasing kind of whatever, manipulated, whatever the hell. And that's going to come to an end one of these days. And you're going to go, oh, my God, you know, my ounce of silver is going to buy me a house. So I'm, you know, the thing is that I'm going, all right. So they're already creating ETFs. They're already creating, you know, the fortress and second markets. So you're telling me off air, and I go, I knew they would. I didn't know it was already known. I mean, that's how informed and how much I give a crap. But, you know, I mean, understanding the philosophy, I knew that they would, or they're doing it. I just didn't know they were open about it. Tell us about it.
Well, the Winklevoss twins in the summer did their first filings to create an ETF fund for Bitcoin, and I believe that they're putting their Bitcoin holdings into the fund as starting capital. How much Bitcoin they have, I think they're supposed to have like 1% of the total number of Bitcoin, something like that. They plunked down 20 some odd million dollars back when it was 100 or so dollars of Bitcoin. And so they've got a lot of Bitcoin, and they're putting it into the ETF to try to do some leveraging and whatnot. Now, Second Market, I looked it up after we were talking, and they're actually a trust fund. So when you invest into the Second Market trust fund, there's literally Bitcoin being held for your investment. So they're kind of like a managed and secured vault, and they should be. I didn't read all the way through their materials.
You mean
materials.
Like Mt. Gox?
No, it would be more Mt. Gox. It would be more like. Well, there's a couple of other companies like CoinSafe.
Yeah,
and,
but see, this is all geeky stuff. I go, how's that? And they go, well, the stroke dash form code. And I'm like, you know, you lost me a hello, okay?
Well, see, Second Market was set up so that you can take your IRA and put it in Bitcoin. Or you can put your 401k and put it in Bitcoin. And that's their value add. That's their goal. And now that they have the fund, and now the fund has the appropriate, you know, water sprinklings and signs made over it by the government, now it's a matter of finding funds that are willing to allow you to put money into the Second Market fund.
Allow?
Yeah, I know.
So we get government, is allow thing?
Yeah,
they're building
up
for the allow. They finally get. No, I can tell you what's going on. Oh, I gotta recommend this. You go to I'm eating my bud wig. Okay. Oh, there's a. Ooh, that looks like gruel. Anyway, so it's good and good for you. We'll talk about that another time. Now, what happened was, is I'm going. All right. How would you understand how Washington really works? I mean, you know, somebody really get an inside, and you start hearing, oh, Obama watches it, oh, Congress. Well, yeah, it's kind of sort of like that. They just, Netflix has an original program called House of Cards, and it stars Kevin Spacey as a congressman that comes up, and his goal, he's going to be president of the United States of America. Well, he's made it up to be VP already, how he's maneuvered stuff and different legislation. People die, people get killed, and I'm just... Kevin Spacey, Robin Wright, that was Jen Ney on Forrest Gump, They star in this thing, and it is awesome of how just it's really done and corrupt and lobbied and kind of did that. And I bet you it's even skids greased even more. Than it's not about the people. It's not about the Constitution. It's not about anything. It's just competing special interest on who gets to do what, and on the worldwide basis of we got, you know, like fighter planes and stuff. And I'm going, this is what you're dealing with. You know, this is, you know, the secret kind of meeting, you know, and it's you oppose it from the north and the south, and it's kind of the nobles and the compromise and all that.
Sure.
And I'm like, ew, I don't want to have anything to do with ew. And this is going to bastard ew. So where can we overlap to where we can have some kind of a conference, a push forward, a something to where we're on the same page? And I'm looking to where if the Bitcoin community comes out and, you know, yay, we win, we have a government form, okay? And I remember when Spaceship One did, they got the first astronaut, and we're in the hangar with the billionaires and the, you know, the Branson people and everything, and we're holding up our signs to say Spaceship One, Government Zero. Well, we didn't have that one. Bert Rattan ripped that one away from us and kind of put it up, and he stand up doing that. And we had other signs, government, you can't hear him scream in space and all that kind of stuff. And there was a guy that was going, yep, we got it taken care of. We got a permit. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, we went to the FAA, the Mojave Airport there, and he said, we need a permit to go to space. And they go, well, we don't have that. You can do whatever you want. We don't care. You just you got a flight worthiness thing, you know, flight plan. We're going here and rocking it up and peace out and have a nice time. Well, then we want a piece of paper saying we don't need a piece of paper.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
I go, are you stupid? You just created a permission slip to go to space. So what do we find out a month ago? We got Richard Branson. They're saying, oh, you're selling all these tickets to go to space. Got your permit?
Ernie, I can explain why you don't understand this. Do you have an MBA?
No, and you're assuming I don't understand.
Did you go to law school? See, you have to have the proper you have to have the proper learning to understand why this makes sense. And, you know, get with the program, and you will understand. I mean, honestly, I get that. I mean, and there were a lot of different things that we have to go through in putting on a conference. You probably understand this too,
yeah.
Where you have to go and we've got a lawyer who accepts Bitcoin, and he's just a great guy, Santiago Diaz, and he spends a lot of time advising us, making sure that we don't step here or step there and get in trouble. But has he ever brought anything up that I would have thought was moral or ethical issue, you know, where it was something that I was really, you know, in some sense, you know, from a moral, ethical point of view, doing something wrong? No. It's all about games. And yet you're forced to play games.
It's all about what? Oh, games.
Games. Yeah, it's games.
I'll give you an example. We're going to break, and then we'll have a final whatever, and it has been the day with with Paul Snow. Okay. Yeah, because I had Tony Snow on one time, and you know, you made me think of him. Anyway. So what happened is I go like this. I go, when we did the contract for the – we've done several different resorts and hotels when we put on the summit. And this particular one, they had the TSA was doing interviews there while the Second Amendment Foundation was having a rally and people are carrying their firearms. The federal government, TSA, freaked out. We're just sitting here, you know, interviewing guys to be TSA taking guns away, and we're in a hotel. Everybody's walking around with guns. So we want you to, we're the government and stop them. You know, Alan Gottlieb and those guys, oh, well, we got to take our guns and put them in the car. Hell, that would have been the perfect opportunity to say, screw this, walk out, and we're done. Give us our money back. You know, you bite me. But no. So later, years later, we're looking for another place. Say, we'll go to the Crescent. We'll just doink them a little bit. He'll go, yeah, do you want to have a Freedom Summit here? Well, you got to be able to carry firearms. Then they go, okay. We go, really? Well, I guess we're doing it here. So it's from the beginning. We look for, we are going to carry our firearms legally. Well, now it's concealed as legal, so it's not a big deal, but half the people there are armed, you know, and that was the deal from the beginning. Are we able to not compromise from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, when I come back, I got the clip in Braveheart was confess, you know, he is your king kind of thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's appropriate for what I want to go into here. But this is the last segment. Make a note and everything you want to say and do and dates and times and web pages and, you know, we'll end it with, you know, all the goodies or whatever you want to do. But
okay.
My thing is that, you know, this is kind of the point that I'm trying to make. If you are already in that bite me, I don't care what you say, leave me aloneism attitude, it makes mm-hmm. it easier. If they go, well, it's easy for you, Ernie, because you don't compromise. You know, it's just easy. You don't get anything. I go, no, you take credit. I don't give a crap. You go out there. You know, well, then the Republicans, and they passed this and did it, and they got the credit. Like, I care. Or the Democrats will do it. I've had all kinds of, I can give a billion examples of it was all about who got credit. And I'm going,
right.
You're confusing me with someone. It gives a shit. I just want my freedom. And I go, by advocating a no-compromise position, it makes the guys that, you know, compromise a little bit. They go down to the legislature. They deal. It makes their job easier. But
right.
With a lot of the stuff, you know, it's like the 10th Amendment Center. They get a lot of people that are down there supporting, you know, freedom and stuff and America and whatever. Then they do the NSA bill. And then you have legislators that get cover for that. Yeah, we're pro-freedom. We don't like the NSA and 10th Amendment and kind of peace. And then they go voting for the con. And I'm going, okay.
Right.
So I'm going, they vote for a constitutional convention. Did that give them cover? You're not going after them now because they did your bill? Is that how they're using it? Was that the intent? Probably not. But that's how they use it. They do it all the time.
Right.
That's what pissed me off so much. I'm just going, you know, I've seen this over and over and over and over.
Ernie, I'm completely convinced that you can't change things by passing a law, which is why I want to change the physics of finance. See, okay. I think
it's already done. What are you going to rewrite Bitcoin?
That's right. Yeah, I think Bitcoin changes the physics. That's why I believe it's the answer.
Yeah, so then you need to wrap philosophy and advocacy and everything around that. You know, I didn't say
no. It's in there. It's infused.
You never saw in any of the Ron Paul Levolution side, all that kind of stuff. It mm-hmm. never said anything I had anything to do with. Never said vote Ron Paul. Okay, that was not what I was advocating. And I get the impression that even though you may use the process like I would do, you're kind of going, yeah, and you should vote. And I'm going, No, I don't vote.
That's not my point.
I mean, you'll be part of the regulatory or whatever. But so my thing is I'm going, all right. I understand everything that's going on here, but from the beginning, we went in with a contract. No, we must be able to carry our firearms legally, or we don't have to be here. And they go, okay, and we go, okay. It would have been a, you know, death to the whole thing from the beginning. All right, here we go.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
William Wallace, you stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life. Did I swear allegiance to him?
It matters not. He is your king. Confess, and you may receive a quick death. Deny, and you must be purified by pain. Do you confess? Do you confess? Then on the morrow you shall receive your purification.
Yeah, you're gonna get purified. You know, so from the beginning we're like, no, I never recognized him as my king. And what comes after that? A freaking, you know, gutting. Freedom! I mean, you know, this is, what game are you at? You dance with the devil, you don't change him, okay? You dance with the devil, it's just kind of this ew. Now I got ew. Where can we overlap? How can we have together that, you know, I do not recognize him as my king. Matters not, he is your king. No, he's not. From their perspective. So Bitcoin is such a perfect example of all of this because it represents the philosophy, the voluntarism, the leave me aloneism, the you can't regulate it. You can't get in my head. I mean, that doesn't mean they can't. There may be some quantum computing, whatever. You know, it's the philosophy behind it. It's the promise. So this is why we get to the Texas Bitcoin Conference. I'm going to be there without a microphone, you know, saying this stuff. So mm-hmm. Paul offered me, he goes, hey, you want to, you know, host a room and do an introduce? And kind of, I go, one, it sounds like work. And two, I don't think you want me to have microphone. so I go, we'll bypass that one. I'm going to do you a solid here and not get a microphone. So this is, but you can see that this is, I hope to distill this entire argument down to this argument. You know, he's not my king. You know, and Bitcoin, it's not under his, and I'm not begging for it to be. You see my point?
Yes, and I think if the king is representing the regulatory system that we're supposed to swear allegiance to, it should be understood that I don't swear allegiance to these systems. My moral and ethical system is my moral and ethical system. And the thing that attracts me to Bitcoin is that the philosophy of honesty and fairness is baked into the protocol. It's baked in. It's incorruptible in some sense. And while people can do any corrupt things with any tool, the actual payment system, the actual accounting, the actual ledger is always honest. And so if regulatory people want to pass regulations, one, at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, I want to have a conversation. I want them to say what they want to do, and I want everyone to have the ability to question it, because you need the opportunity to question these things.
Okay, let me go ahead and make this point, and you'll understand mm-hmm. my concern, because a lot of times, you know, it's 25 years of this, and I just kind of skip to the end, and people think I make accusations on it. And recently it happened to the 10th Amendment Center, and I go up and I said, 10th Amendment Center, blah, 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 con, as if, you know, and that was a quote that I didn't, there may have been something else, but that was the one that I saw that I think got people upset. And the reason mm-hmm. was, is they're going, 10th Amendment Center doesn't support a con. And I go, oh, I'm sorry, 10th Amendment Center does not support a con. I'd like him to say that, and we're getting Michael Bolden on. He's going to come on in the next few weeks. We've been working back channels, talking, kind of come on again, and we're going to, you know, talk about that very thing. But this is how it happens, okay? They'll go, they get cover, they do, and I did, and kind of all of a sudden I voted for a con, and then they don't come after me because I loved them a long time on something else. And I see that happening. And this is how this will happen with Bitcoin. Bitcoin wants, yeah, we want to comply and we want to regulate, and it's great, and look at all these great features, and everybody gets educated in Bitcoin and this, but they don't emphasize the philosophy of Bitcoin, of the leave me aloneism, and the very people behind the philosophy of Bitcoin and what it represents. And there's going to be a bunch of other currencies. There already are a bunch of other ones. I don't know, is there 80 something? I mean, you know, so it's just the first market kind of, and it works, right. And there's all this system behind it. It could be easily mm-hmm. something else. So you may be very surprised you get exactly what you want. While you're screaming for recognition of the government, they go, you know, you're right, this is great and wonderful and so on, and J.P. Morgan, you know, we decided to grant this patent over here, and we have the government-approved cryptocurrency. It's right here, and thank you for bringing it to everybody's attention, and now this is the one and not Bitcoin. And you are the ones that grease the skids exactly for that mentality to happen, to create a market for it. You wanted their sanction. They go, okay, we give sanction.
Well, you're confusing me. You're confusing me with the Bitcoin Foundation, or if not them,
no,
you know,
it's
people.
Just, you know, I just see y'all as the same thing.
I would not call for regulation. I would oppose any regulation of Bitcoin personally. But in putting up a conference, what I want to bring is as many diverse voices at once to have this conversation. I want you to be able to go there and find at the Texas Bitcoin Conference and find the people you want to talk to and make your point to those people. Because then you may actually moderate somebody's views, or you may not. I mean, who knows?
No, I'm going to bring my radio show. I got a mobile Comrex do sit there thing, you know, live from. I'll go in. I'll say, hey, come over. Let's talk about it. What's your position? And it's going to
absolutely.
See, what I'm afraid is if we don't go in with the philosophy behind it, why it's a why, not how, why, who, what, you know, why?
Right.
And
no,
if we give that up from the beginning, the big giant Uncle Sam with unlimited resources of will come and have exactly the same features of Bitcoin. They'll call it whatever the hell they want to do it. It'll have the sanction of the government. It'll work through the banks. It'll go as fast. It'll do that. We just got a little bit of everybody. We know everything about everybody and know that part doesn't matter. Don't worry about
it. The thing is, if the federal government creates a cryptocurrency that allows for the same kind of decentralized exchange of Fed coins, call it, then all they will have done is given us an easy way to take Fed coins and convert them into Bitcoin. Bitcoin's got the freedom baked in. Anything the government builds that gives us a better on-ramp onto Bitcoin and off-ramp off of the Federal Reserve notes, then I think Bitcoin wins.
Maybe.
Because it's baked in. Because the protocol does not allow for centralized control of transactions.
No, it's just competition. I went through this. I went through it with eGold. I went through it with PayPal. I went through it with, you know, and Peter Schiff. He comes out with gold-backed Visa that you spend in his account. You spend it, but Americans can't do it. You know, so I'm going, oh, what's the point? Eagle, they did. Oh, where is it at? Oh, it's ours now. You're not allowed, and boom, an IRS, and done. You go to Switzerland, boom, we want all the information, know your customer all over the freaking planet. Americans aren't allowed to do accounts. I mean, to think they're not on there doing that, they'll just compete. They'll go, yeah, you wanted sanctions, you wanted to go through the banks, okay, we created one, and it does, it's right here, it's more convenient, and now it's like PayPal that turns over. I remember you used to be able to make a boatload of money on PayPal, and then they get reported to the IRS.
Yeah. But the PayPal's a centralized system. E-money was a centralized system. What Peter Schiff is pushing is a centralized system with his Visa card.
And regulation of Bitcoin will be a centralized system. And you anything will be a... No, the peer-to-peer part. Mt. Gox is centralized. What the hell do you think is going on? What do you think happened with Silk Road? What do you think you have? Wherever there's a head that will go get it.
Yeah, they can go after you. They can go after me. But the decentralized system is like file sharing.
No. I understand.
Bitcoin.
I understand. So advocate
Bitcoin.
That. Advocate the Bitcoin, the philosophy of the Bitcoin. I don't want them to kind of sneak it in and government cheese around the red pill. I don't.
What do you think I'm doing if I'm bringing Ben Swan to the conference? If I'm bringing Jeffrey Tucker to the conference? If I'm bringing you to the conference? And I'm bringing a bunch of other people. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't go out and say, I want freedom people at the Texas Bitcoin Conference. What I did was, everybody raise your hand, please come. And the people that rose their hands first and loudest were the freedom people.
No, of course. No. Because they want to advocate. So I'm glad we had this conversation. Because I got to express myself. That's all I wanted to do. See, I don't need to speak at the conference. I just did. I just want to make sure that we can support each other's efforts. I don't want to be in a position to where the Bitcoin community is seen as screaming for legitimacy from the government. They go, okay, yeah, this is cool. Here's all these features. We just legitimized ours. Now, what we'll do over here, thank you very much for playing. Will Bitcoin compete with that? Yeah, probably. But not the way that you think. You're thinking that it's going to get wide adoption and government, and all of a sudden everybody's rich, and they're going to go, no. They already got the second, third, fourth, fifth plan. You know, the B plan. Go to plan C, D, F, whatever, because they do not want this, and I don't want to help them. Paul Snow.
Why did you?
Oh, and now we can still, you know, you can yell at me. But the...
I thought it was great. I have no extreme desire for everyone to agree with me. You there?
Yeah, go.
Okay. It just got awfully quiet. I'm getting kind of used to the
background. Just having Donna turn the video back on to record that, because we record the audio, and I wanted another, this would be like a fourth segment, because there's not anything that you're going to say that's not recorded, because I wanted to give you, after I, you know, end on a rant right there and just slapped you around, you know, give you some defense.
No. I feel no need for defense. I do not have a compulsion for everyone to agree with me. That's how I can talk in an agreeable way.
See, I don't think we disagree. That's not my point.
I just don't think
that you see from experience of dealing with the politics. You may deal with regulators. You may deal with contractors. You may deal with the providers of the procurement of the blah, blah, blah. But that's not the same thing. You deal with these politicians and so on. They are looking. That's why I like the House of Cards thing. I go, you want to know how it really goes at every freaking level of government? I'm sorry, this guy's in my way dead. I mean, this is how it goes. That's why I like having a big, wide, decentralized front, which I see Bitcoin as. And the more you start to bring it together under some kind of a regulatory and comply with and some form of stroke, whatever the hell, you know, it makes it so much easier for them to manipulate and control, and it's a PR battle. Once you get the planet understanding the features and the benefits and how cool and easy it is to use Bitcoin, and they go, and we have one just like that, does the same thing, except it got DNA sample right here. You know?
Yeah.
So, and if you play into that, you're making their job easy. They're sitting there, the big giant evil guy, sitting there laughing their ass off, going, you just keep saying that. And then what do we have? You have Cody Wilson over there going, no, we're going to do a tumbling dark. We're going, and he, and the conversation between you and him, he goes like this. He says, yeah, it's money laundering. We're going to make sure you can launder your money. It's all money laundering. It's laundering and cleaning money, and it's laundered. As if cleaning money was bad or something, okay?
Right.
So I'm going,
exactly.
And you go, well, at least you're open about it. You're money laundering. He goes, yeah, and you're not.
No, I didn't say that. I said you use the most inflammatory term, you know, because other people might just say, you know, anonymizing your transactions, which, you know.
It's money laundering.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, When the guy says there's no reason for anybody to hide their transactions.
Why?
But this is what some regulator said. And what I really wanted to do, I heard the story on NPR. I heard the quote on NPR. I wanted to raise my hand and say, give me your credit card statement, please. And when he said no, I said, I thought you were against people hiding their transactions. You hide yours, but we shouldn't hide ours.
Well, of course, everybody that knows anything about Bitcoin is going to say it's not hid.
Well, it is hid if you don't know whose transactions are whose.
No, you don't know who did it, but that doesn't mean you don't see it.
But that's exactly what
they want. They want to know who did it.
No, the dark wallet. It's exactly what dark wallet does. Is it does not take transactions off the blockchain. It just hides whose transactions are whose.
It's a tumbling kind of, you know,
it tumbles.
It mixes it. Well, see, no, what they're really doing, as I understand it, is if you know which one went where, you can kind of figure out whose it is. I mean, it's not
a
direct thing, but that they tumble it around, then it's like you couldn't figure out who it was. So I get it.
Absolutely.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
So the transactions are there. The transactions are public. It's just that the identities are not public. And I am completely supportive, and the problem with a Fed coin or any other technology where they puncture that veil, even the guy up in front, the regulator, who's claiming nobody would want to hide transactions, he's not going to give his boss his Visa statement. He's not going to give his boss his bank statement.
No, but his boss probably got it anyway.
Well, his boss probably does, especially if he's the NSA. But the point is that he's at the very moment that he's claiming nobody would want to hide their transactions, he knows otherwise, because he's spent his entire life hiding transactions. Now, the problem with the blockchain is it's kind of binary. If you expose your transactions to the government, you effectively expose your transactions to the world. Because since it's an open ledger, and since the security around, you know, privacy is not non-existent, Snowden proved that, then once you've identified all those addresses, then anyone exchanging with those addresses, their identity's compromised, unless you use a product like Dark Wallet. But there's nothing that prevents Dark Wallet from running on Bitcoin. And if they try to do a Fed coin, if they try to compromise Bitcoin, you think the rest of the world is going to continue to bow down to the whims of the United States forever on currency?
Yeah, no, it's already done. I mean, it's, you know, they think
China quit buying dollars.
Yeah, see, I'm like, you know, the treasuries, they just dumped a whole boatload of them. I mean, and who buys them? You know, Europe. I mean, you know, so I'm just going, look, I don't think I don't get it. And I get just enough of the headline. Yeah, there it goes. I mean, I already know what's going to happen. It's they, them, those are trying to maintain they, them, those in control of us, you know, and then we're livestock, and it's all, this is just, you know, technotronic era. We have computers and we can and get to know whatever's in their refrigerator and when their milk goes bad. I mean, I get it.
Right.
You know, so
sure.
My thing is that anytime that you have a system, and I love it when Cody goes, there's a system approaching perfection. Just in time for our disappearance. And I'm going, yeah, that's when you got to worry, is when we're gone. So is Cody, I think he did, he's talking, is built on to blow all that computer geek stuff. I mean, he could have his own cryptocurrency thing that he, whatever, I don't care. Okay?
Yeah.
And the point is, see, that's why I don't have to get bogged down in all the minutia detail of this stuff. I understand the philosophy behind it. And I got the impression that I've had Patrick on, we've talked for hours, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he asked to go to the Freedom Summit. He wanted to make this presentation. And
wow.
I go, you know, so what happened, he was on the show, and I just had Richard Grove from Tragedy and Hope was one of the speakers, and he has to move and do it, and he gave me like a month notice, hey, I can't, you know, we're moving the operation, I can't and just can't. And I go, all right, mm-hmm. Well, that sucks. Well, okay, maybe I get a slot, because I didn't really have a slot other than, you know, Tim Fry and I presenting our, you know, growing food thing. And so I'm going, well, I can always fill in. I got Bill Buport wants to fill in. I got some other, I got plenty of people we can pull. Hell, I could have had you do it. I mean, you know, I got plenty from pull from the audience. So the next day or two, I had Patrick on, and he heard the commercial for the Freedom Swing. He goes, hey, how come you didn't ask me to? So I go, we come back and you say on air you're doing it, guess what? You know, man, you be there, you know, so here we go. So that's how that came about. But he understood from us years ago, I was covering all that naked short stuff. I have been covering, you know, what do I got to prove? Government's bad. They make it up. It's a pretend thing. All this derivatives got to be reconciled with. They call it Seed and Co. and the market and DD, you know, T, you know, whatever the hell is the abbreviation of we're going to say who owns what. And guess what? All funnels lead to Goldman Sachs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he's in battle mm-hmm. against it because he already preemptively knows what they're going to do philosophically. And that's what a lot of people, when he gave his presentation on the history of Austrian economics and the philosophy of different things and so on, he was given his resume. He was given his bona fides and how he got to where he is now. People go, well, we knew this. I go, no, he wasn't trying to just inform you. I'm sure he informed a lot of people. A lot of people may have known this. What he was doing is showing how and why he is where he is and why he embraced Bitcoin. It was his features. It was the philosophy. It was the peer-to-peer aspect of it. It was all of that, not, you know, this any of these other reasons. You know, it's Bitcoin, not Bitcoin. It doesn't matter. It's the philosophy. And if we lose that, then you didn't win anything, because the government will just come and, oh, yeah, we got all the features and everything that's good, but we had this itty-bitty little feature here that we just, you're not a terrorist, are you? If you use Bitcoin, we say possession is a crime. That's where that comes in. I go, do you or do you not possess an account in your name associated with on your whatever?
You said criminal. In your name. You said in your name. Nothing's ever in your name in the.
It's blockchain. In your
there
name
no
if they
name.
Say it is. You know, what do you think this guy from Silk Road's saying? He goes, no, not me. They go, well, hell, it ain't. You know, you can argue that case later. They go, yeah, you can have all that argument all you want in our court while you're sitting in jail. So I'm going,
absolutely.
So the thing is that what did I get early on? Drew got me one of the Bitcoin.bomb guys. He got me a Cassatius, I think a coin, back a couple years ago or something. Got me one of the original ones that had the little, you know, misspelling or something in there.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So that thing,
sucker.
Yeah, that thing's going for an ounce of gold. You know,
yeah.
I go, I'll just keep that bad boy until it's worth an ounce of, I get to own my own property. So what happens is I got it in my safe. I never, peeled it off. I don't know what the password is, but we added to it. I go, one thing I want to see, can I add to this coin account? So we
Absolutely.
Go on, after we find that out. I got, 1.01 on that coin.
Mm-hmm.
So then I go, okay, well, nobody knows I have it until I actually use it, and then I'll wait for the dark whatever and tumble it in, and it's mine and bite me. I just leave it in my safe, or I hide it, or I put it in the time capsule, or I got out in the middle of the desert, and I can just sending to that account for whatever, and I cash it in when I want. So then what does Davy Barker come up with? He comes up with the idea of, we will have a project, like his authoritarian sociopathy thing, and we will keep funding that Bitcoin account until, and everybody sees how much is in there, until it can fund the project. Now, that would be an increase in the value of the Bitcoin after you get regulatory, hands-on from IRS or something,
and it
jumps up. Or, people just keep contributing to it. And I go, wow, that's an awesome idea. Then I have a guy, a friend of mine that works for Amazon. They have one of the VP of whatever the hell going around, talking it up, and we're going to this and that. And he kind of slipped something I think he might not have, should have done. And he really knew I'd be interested. That Amazon is looking for, do you know about Blue Origin in Texas?
No.
Okay, you need to know this. Are you still at your computer?
Yes.
Type in Jeff Bezos, Amazon. Yeah. Blue Origin, and tell me what you see.
Okay.
This is going to shock the crap out of you.
All right.
You go, I did not know that.
My computer's sleeping, but now he's awake. All right. So I say, Jeff Bezos.
Blue Origin.
Blue Origin. That's one of my options in Google completion.
Of course it is.
Blue Origin, LLC. Oh, is this the Chili? No.
West Texas. He's got a big, giant area out there. West Texas, his own spaceport. He has his own space program.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you go, SpaceX this and SpaceX that and everything. You didn't know Jeff Bezos is a competitor, but why? It's to deliver stuff. Suborbital flight going. I think Amazon, they're going, ooh, his drone. Oh, they'll never drone the drone. He's going, silly status, you don't get it. This is a worldwide delivery system of I go and freaking deliver. So what happens? He has a vertical takeoff landing space capsule now, not later, now. Okay? So what are they going to do? They're talking in place, say, ooh, we're going to deliver an Amazon package to the space station. We're going to deliver, and then what are they launching from the space station? I've been screaming on my show. I go, you don't understand. Forget the internet. It's going to be the other net. It's going to be, Heinz 57 net. It's going to be the next, net, okay?
You knew there was you already knew there was a Mars coin, didn't you?
No.
Doesn't surprise me. They've already created a cryptocurrency for Mars because, you see, the internet, the lag between the Earth and Mars would be too great for you to use Bitcoin in Mars.
Ah.
And so they've built a protocol to coordinate Mars coins with Earth coins, so that when you want, you can do transactions on Mars with Mars coin. When you want to convert to, when you want to buy something from the U.S., then from the Earth,
done.
Then there would be a conversion into Bitcoin.
No, it's going to get even worse than that. It's going to be to where they have quantum entanglement of instant communication teletransport. I walk through. I'm on Mars. I mean,
once you do that, then everybody can be Bitcoin even on Mars. But they're anticipating maybe some delays in the quantum entanglement.
Yeah, it might be a couple of weeks. Okay, I get it.
At least a couple of weeks.
But I'm just like, think big. Yeah, hell, don't know. DARPA can already have it. I mean, I don't trust those sons of bitches for anything. So I'm going, look, here we are to where we have Amazon is ready to start delivering. So I came up with this idea after Davi's talking. We were sitting there. I'm going, so I sent an email to Patrick, a couple weeks ago, Patrick Byrne. I said, he announced on my show a couple of things. Last time he was on, he goes, one, we're going to match prices with Amazon. okay? Mm-hmm. Or books mm-hmm. and stuff. And what I go, oh, cool. Okay, that's competitive. And we're taking Bitcoin. I'm like, oh, see how you are? Okay, I go, okay, I see where this goes, all right? Because I've talked to him years before, and his philosophical, you know, they're lying sacks of snot. And he's a, you know, a good, you know, just peace is the way, kind of just, you know, the truth and justice and reality and A is A and leave me aloneism. And, you know, he's just one of those guys. That principle right. is more important than the $20 million it's going to cost him to go up against Goldman Sachs. They pissed off the wrong guy. There's always that guy. I call him Neos. There's always that one out of billions that's like, you know what? No. When the time comes, you won't have to dodge the bullets. It's just the power of the philosophy. So that's why Absolutely. It needs to be a wide, you know, decentralized front without little points coming out and let's please regulate. I mean, you know, it's just, if you do that, it doesn't matter. So then this is the idea. I'm thinking of my Casatius coins, however you say it, coin that's sitting up there, all right? Mm-hmm. So I go, you want to trump Amazon? You want to piss off Bezos? This is what you do. Right now, last week, they just launched, what, 30-something satellites, these micro-satellites? Then it's called mm-hmm. the Outer Net. Do it right now. I've been screaming. It's like, you guys don't understand. Do a Google search on Outer Net. Do it right now.
Okay.
They created an entire infrastructure. Boom. You got a satellite-based internet. Done. Then you have...
Yeah, mesh network sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of. Well, yeah, it's just, you know, whatever. It's subscription. It's just communication satellites. It's a big, giant, gazillion-dollar satellites for a fraction of what one satellite is. I can send out 100 little satellites. You know, it's iPhones up in space. You know, what do I care?
It's okay? Outernet. Is Outernet on Bezos' side? Or is
No. Just do a Google search on Outernet. You know, I've been screaming this for years. I go, you guys don't understand. Iridium was up there, Motorola project, in the late 90s.
Right.
I'm going,
oh, yeah,
you guys think this is like new. You know, then what happened after they did Spaceship One? You know, Richard Branson goes up and starts buying bankrupt communication satellites so that he can have, you know, internet for the poor children of the world. Bullshit. You know, this is for, can I be a poor children? You know, I want it. You know, so
That's
of course.
Right.
Of course this is going to come. And I'm going, you guys, they're doing their net neutrality and net 2.0 and all that. I go, God, you don't get it. Bitcoin can be on anywhere. You know, you just log it into a different, you know, communication thing. It just, all it has to do is verify the blockchain.
Right.
So what's the difference? You know, so I'm going, all right. So we set up, that's why you hear the freedom, free speech me. You know, they're going, hey, we're doing a whole different .bit, you know, web thing. Where's our site mirrored? Oh, there it is. They shut it down here. It's over there now. Okay? Yeah, bite me. If you're mm-hmm. thinking this way, these solutions come up. So what I said is I go, Patrick, I tell you, you know what would be a good idea? Is if you were able, this would be a lot, you don't got a soft land on the moon. You don't got to, you know, touch down. You don't got to, you know what? Part of the thing, you put a little radio beacon on this little satellite, you know, ball and crash freaking meteor warp speed, whatever the hell. And boom, it's a Bitcoin that has Overstock.com logo on it. It lands,
right.
crash lands on the moon. And what's the goal? The first person to go there and get it gets the Bitcoin. So what happens? Bitcoin community starts charging that coin. We start adding to it. It's a million. All of a sudden, you get your thing, and all of a sudden, it turns into 10 million. Then people keep adding. It's 100 million. I mean, you know, at some point, there's going to be a freaking race. I want that damn Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
You see my point?
Oh, yeah.
And what does Overstock have to do? Nothing. Does he got to create a space program? No. He just got to get, you know, go past Lagrange point and just have a crash on the moon somewhere. Boom, there it is.
Absolutely.
Next. So you have the Bitcoin community charging a coin, and then you got it, you know, like, you know, somebody you trust, and you know that, you know, I've taken it, watch me on video webcam, I am putting it, look, there it is, it's got this much, I place it into the satellite, we're closing up, we seal up the ship, SpaceX launches it, it goes out, boom, done. Amazon's going to be pissed, see my point?
Yep.
So, you know, this is like an idea. Yeah, you want a go, holy shit idea? There you go. Give me 5 minutes on a mic. I'll do that one. All we got to do is charge it. I said, Pat, I said, no, I can make this happen. I know boys that know boys that know boys. Okay? So the thing is that I'm going, you know, all we need is a Bitcoin on the moon that people charges it for the first person to go and reward I got it. Do you think the the governments will go after it?
Maybe
they get there and they do it. Oh, it's government. That default. We had the password. It went over here now. wait for the next guy, But, it's a trust thing. But, it's open. Everybody can go and see how much it is. I mean, it's big ideas like that. They go, Ernie, how do you get support? How do people contribute? How is it you're able to run and do what you do? I go, I tell you what the problem is. Your idea isn't big enough. If you're not about changing the entire culture of the freaking planet, then you're wasting your time. People with resources and money, they want the entire cultural, big, giant, oh my God idea change. And if you want that, because look at it. We got Bezos, who's sharing his servers in the cloud now? The CIA freaking A. You're sitting, I got Amazon, has in their cloud who the next CIA wedding they're going to target. Yay. I feel all kinds of good karma about that one. You think Patrick Byrne is going to be doing that? No. This is the point. So I'm going, as much as I'm a fan of space and, Amazon and what they do and everything, just out of that, when they did the CIA, I'm transitioning over. And I'm going somewhere else. Will they follow me and be able to tag? Yeah, I don't give a shit. That's not the point. I call it wallet voting. You go to walletvoting.com. I got that back in 2003, lost it for a little while and got it back or something. But I wallet voted because I knew when I first started doing radio, it was going to be where we spent our money. And that was the vehicle that we, our Tron babe that was holding the Silver Calculator app up. That was the vehicle that we used to launch that. You go and you look up the money lift that we have. We had the first candy vending machine dispensing Bitcoin at Porkfest. Don't tread on me, the Bitcoin not bomb guys. We did that. Go do a Google search on that.
What's the terms?
Do Silver Odyssey 2001.
Odyssey. 2001.
Yeah, it should have a video or something. It's Silver Odyssey 2001 or something.
Unfortunately, there is a Honda Odyssey. Let me minus Honda. Okay.
Now put don't tread on meme, M-E-M-E. Add that, and that'll bring it up. And then do another tab and put money lith. The money lith. And you'll see pictures of it.
I've seen the money list.
Okay. Well, then 2001, a Silver Odyssey or something like that. A Silver Odyssey, don't tread on meme, and that video should come up. Drew did that and the guys. Now, Roberts and I, Tim and I and some others, we had, I think, Free State
Project.
Yeah.
It's 2012, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's probably what I meant.
A long ways from 2001.
Just let it play in the background. You'll kind of get the idea. What we were looking at is the dawn of man, the dawn of money, the dawn of man,
right.
The apes go up and they hit on the monolith and kind of knowledge comes. So we had this big black, thing, the monolith, and they took it up to the Monument Valley. And in the this was just a teaser for us making the viral video. The video is the Money Lith Monument Valley, so you'll see the full length film that they did. But the whole thing was a build up for people to understand the value of silver dimes, 90% silver being used, and the silver calculator to promote that, and the dime cards. We did a fundraiser for Daily Paul. Michael Nystrom and I worked on this. We did a fundraiser for Daily Paul that we did these dime cards for them. We sold 6,000 in a day. I mean, it was like, whoa. So we had, crews here for like a week just to getting caught up to making mass producing these and to fill the orders. It was amazing. It was a $10,000 check profit. Them, Daily Paul's like, thank you very much for playing. Let's do it again. So, but we kind of gone past that. So then here comes Bitcoin after we did that. See, this is what we do. We use these kinds of things as a mechanism to change culture, for people to start thinking a certain way. And when you start focusing on the regulatory aspect of this, that's 180 degrees from what we're advocating. For whatever benefit reason, doesn't matter. That's not the point. So you kind of see what we did with that video?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool video.
Very cool. And it was a viral thing. Then you go to the next one when they actually did the full-length video. So this is, and then we had the money dome. You know, that's what that dome that you saw there. Mm-hmm. We would take, and that would be part of the presentations that we go out in the blah, 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 and we'll do another one here in March we have, and I don't want to take it to Texas because, like, work, you know. Mm-hmm. But the, so this is where, so I'm glad you spent this extra time with us all day today in this a bonus here, because I want you to understand how capable we are of helping, okay? How capable we are of bringing the minds that really matter to this thing. How capable we are of, you know, going after bad guys. I mean, they do something bad. All you got to do is make fun of you once. All you got to have is the 4409 just, you know, say what a, you know, freaking status you are. All you got to do is have, I mean, that's all it takes. But that's not what I'm looking for in what you're, what I'm looking for is the same thing you are. Common ground to where we can have it, you know, just explode all over. They can't do anything about it. It's going to kick their ass. So we'll use their own comments and statements and regulate and all that bullshit to be able to accomplish it. But if we lose the, if we give up the philosophy that supports it from the beginning, you already lost before you started.
The only disagreement that I have is that I think that the philosophy with Bitcoin is baked into the system, which is why I think that it's a subversive technology.
No, I understand that. This is why I let me discount that a little bit from my perspective. This is why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The power is going to be how much it gets penetrated and is in use. Agreed?
Absolutely.
So what happens
is...
That's
why I'm all about adoption.
No, I understand. The adoption that they're going to be looking for is it's going to go this way. This is how these guys think. Think of the Kevin Spacey character in House of Cards. He's going to go, silly statist, you know, you're playing my game, and I'm the hero, because it's going to be perceived. They're going to go, yes, we lay hands on all this. Yes, we got the Winklevoss's guys, you know, what they said. Yes, we're going to do the ETA. Yes, we're going to have, yes, we're going to have the feed. Yes, we're going to create our own that's even better and better than, in, you know, Uncle Sam approved. And yes, and they used the Texas Bitcoin Conference. They used the people advocating for that as the PR department for them to launch what they want, because Bitcoin is still small. And they're going to go, yes, it's small, but it is a threat. It's a real threat. So what we're going to do, you know, no, nothing like flattery, you know, showing that with competition. We're going to create it and say, this is the state-approved version, because the Bitcoin wanted state approval. Well, guess what? This is how you get state approval. We state approve this one, and it's Winklevoss's did it for us, and they're all, you know, in Facebook you know, whatever.
Winklevoss can't be blamed, because they're total Bitcoin nuts and pushing Bitcoin.
That's not my point. It's going to be somebody with resources, somebody with doing the ETF, somebody that's willing to interface, somebody that's going to, and they're going to go, thank you for getting people awakened to this, you know, cashless society that we wanted, and you just helped us do it. Boom, this is the approved one, and that one is verboten. And you're going, well, it doesn't matter, they'll still trade it. Yeah, of course they will. But from the beginning, from the beginning should be, no, it's not about, it's not that you can't regulate. It's not, you're just a PR department for what they want to do, Paul.
No, I'm a platform where those issues are raised, because I guarantee you there have been a number of coins raised where either a company decided to be centralized with their currency, like Ripple, or and some others. I'm not going to go down and I shouldn't say anything about any particular currency, but I'm just saying that there is aspects to these currencies that, and options and different ways of creating them, and they've all been proposed, and they've all mostly for the most part have been knocked down. Bitcoin is still holding over all the other currencies.
No, you're missing. It's not Bitcoin. It's the philosophy of Bitcoin.
Exactly, and that's the point.
But quit trying to change the philosophy. It's got to be able to be regulated. Well, it's just going to government cheese it.
No. When they say this currency is under regulation or under central control, That is the death knell. Nobody wants that. No, not even the guy standing up claiming nobody should hide their transactions. He doesn't want it either. He doesn't want a currency that loses value and that is that the government can go or other banks and because it's really not the government here that's really the problem. It's the banks and the Federal Reserve, which are all private companies.
Yeah, no, the government's just the insulation for them to do what they want and got the guns and it saves them a bunch of money and having to do it.
The government is the wholly owned subsidiary to the banks and the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I can buy a few, congressmen, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than buying a tank.
Well, no, let me put it this way. Who funds the government? Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve's private. By definition, the government is owned by the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, but we owe it to ourselves.
No, we owe it to the Federal Reserve.
No, I know, I get it. I just don't want. So you're thinking that it's a you're kind of going to be a virus. Cause this is what I say. I didn't use it today, but I always say this. I go, it's the injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, for which there is no cure. So what you're saying is Bitcoin is the injection of the infection of blah blah blah. There is no cure. Doesn't matter what they say they're going to do to it. But that is not where you think. You think they don't have a plan B. And I tell you what their plan B is. I can tell you what it is already. They're going. We're going to amp up and get people and support and know. And Bitcoin's great and wonderful, and we need that. Gee, I wish the government would approve it so I could have all these features. Oh, we do have an approved one. It's right over here. Thanks for the marketing, Mr. Bitcoin, and screw you. We now have the Bank of America, Goldman Sachs version of. And you help them. And you go, regulation.
No. What I think will happen is when you do that, that currency will fail. It will fail. Because they make money off the current monetary system. How? By screwing us.
No. I understand, but it's taken 100 years for the Federal Reserve to fail.
No. It was a failure from the beginning.
No, I know that. But, I mean, it's still there.
It's still there. I mean, it isn't wiped off the planet. But this is the first real challenge to the Federal Reserve.
No, it is a manifestation of a philosophy that is the challenge to the Federal Reserve. See, this
exactly,
is what I keep emphasizing.
I will agree. I will agree with that because that's what I've been trying to tell you all along is that it's baked in. The philosophy's there. You go read Satoshi Nakamoto and you go read his comments and you go read the posts back and forth and even the timing of its introduction in 2008 and 2009 is all a reaction to dishonesty in the financial system and a way to use cryptography and encryption to secure and to sign and to validate and verify against an open ledger all the transactions that are going on. Because if you do that and you inject that system into the financial system, you eliminate the ability of the financial system to lie.
I'm sold, man. I get it. But I'm not going to use that argument to try and create an atmosphere, this paradigm of people going, oh, but if it only had a little bit more secure feat of government approval, because they're in that mindset, and oh, here's one over here, I go do that. Now, of course, that will fail, and people will start to move over, and they'll start doing heavy-handed, and these guys are taking it, they're the freaking terrorists, and trying to scare people. I've been, at gun shows, John Ross wrote the book Unintended Consequences. You get the BATF at, gun show table saying, are you sure you want that book? I know how the chilling effect of I see it all the time, and I see it being built up. I don't think I know, Paul. I know this is the pieces being moved.
I agree with you, and I agree that if you think that I think that Bitcoin is just this walk in the park change of the system, that it takes zero effort of anybody using the system to affect freedom, to affect fairness, to affect a level playing field in the economic world, to affect fair pay for work, affect, it's not a walk in the park. Bitcoin is not the total solution. But I do think it's the platform from which this starts.
Okay, I understand that, but you got to understand, my thing is, it's not the platform, it's the philosophy behind that created that platform.
Well, yeah,
and if you aren't of the mind, see, think about it. What if the Satoshi comes out with this thing and but it needs to have this little line of code to kind of, you know, so that we can regulate it. I mean,
there's nine separate implementations.
No, you're missing the point. So, my point is that he started from a philosophy that did not include or allow or even think about that provision. You know,
that's right.
That's what makes it this way, is because it wasn't created to do it.
Yes, it was not create. It was created not to do
representation.
From central control. It is a representation of the
philosophy,
fundamental philosophy that people should be able to transact without a third party.
So that's why I see that philosophy behind it in the name of Bitcoin is being, you know, sullied in this kind of, well, we'll get some government cheese for it, you know?
Yeah, but the government cheese is not in the core. The government cheese is going to be this business or that business. You know what? I can use Bitcoin, and I can use it to fund NSA and CIA drone strikes and all kinds of crap that I don't believe in. Okay? I could do that. I mean, if I were the government, I mean, the government could do that. Because it's money. It's a tool.
I understand.
And a tool can be misused.
Right.
But what they can't do is they can't say, okay, we will not allow this group of people to transact. That's what they can do today.
No,
they
see,
can say,
that
group of people doesn't get to participate in the financial
system. You keep bringing
system.
That up, and that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that the Bitcoin community in the PSYOP, it's all public opinion. I deal on culture and public opinion.
Sure,
I don't read
the
code. I don't give a shit. That's not the point. Okay?
Right.
I look into public opinion, and they are using, it's a drug dealer, Silk Road, and drug and terrorist, and all
absolutely.
This kind of stuff. And at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, even the Bitcoin people recognize the need for regulation. We kind of make it all nice and be able to be adopted and everything, but we just
you're
can't.
Not gonna get
at
that
the
message.
Core, it's not able to be done. So we have created this one right here that meets all the criteria, and boom, you just got snookered.
If you believe in the market, if you believe in market forces, the disadvantages of a Fed coin will never beat a coin that.
No, I know that. That's not the point.
Well,
it's a PSYOP. They need another year. You know what they need? I tell you what they need. I do this. They go, Ernie, how did you know this is going to? How did you know they're going to? Me saying this, it's on record. I'm going to say, they go, Ernie, how did you know? And I go, let me tell you how I know. Because they always want to do one thing: get through the next election.
Yes.
They just need to delay it 2 years, 4 years. They just need to get, we got distraction, shiny object over here, screwed you. Hey, they screwed me again. They pinky swore, and they promised, and they lied, and contract, and they said, and rule of, and kind of, duh. What'd you think was going to happen? So I'm glad I got to express myself. This is what I wanted to do, and I know what's going to happen. It's going to either go your way or mine, or a combination of the both. You know, that's what's going to happen. Okay, so we're going to learn from this. That's why it's so important that we have these summits, and you and I have this extra conversation, and we do this because when it happens, we'll look at it, and you'll go, "How the hell did they do that?" I'll tell you how they did it, because they used all the quotes from the Bitcoin community to say that we need to have, and we want to, and we can't, so we did this one here, and now we're doing this one, and they're done. Thank you for playing. I'm going, wow, you just walked right into it.
Well, you know, and there's you're going to be right to some degree, because no matter what, there's always some card in somebody's hand to play that you didn't anticipate, and so you've got a winning hand when it comes the idea that they are going to try something. Now, if my hand is correct, I think that they're going to try. They may even have some marginal success, but I think they ultimately fail, because I think that market forces acting at the monetary level are unbelievably irresistible.
Agreed. But
and so
you're better off doing that with the cooperation, understanding, it may not even be agreement, May not be that much cooperation, but, you know, the understanding of the other side wanting to just be able to get their Starbucks online or at the guy on at Star, in the alley or whatever, you know, these guys are going to go, okay, I see what you're doing, but we're keeping the faith pure by screaming, look out, he's a government regulator, oh my God.
That's your job.
Right.
Yeah, and the reason that I talked to you for, you know, 3 hours, 3.5 hours, it's because I want you to do your job, and I want to help you do your job. And, well, and it's fun, and besides that, I get suckered into, saying things probably that are more revealing than I want, but that's fine.
That is why I wanted you to stay. That is the biggest asset and benefit to you. And I know there's probably some porters out there going, shit, he did that cheese pill thing. Damn it, I told him not to say that. You know, that kind of deal. I know, I get it. But this is what
I like. I'm so for the cheese pill. I was surprised at how nobody really liked that idea, but that's okay. And, you know, because
it's government cheese, man. You know, I think we've expressed ourselves fully here, and I know that our goal really is, I would like to think that it's the same. You know that
it is.
You know that my goal is what? You know, my goal is that we have more freedom and the understanding of freedom and the leave me aloneism for my grandchildren. That's worth whatever money, you know, I spend on investing in this stuff. That's worth whatever. If it forwards that, and I got such a big boost and a forward and inspiration, people are calling me constantly, went to the summit, sending emails. Oh my God, it just, my brain, my cortex is raw now. I mean, you know, it's just like, wow, all the way driving, back to wherever, or flying. And they're just so, because that is what the summits do. That's what we try and do. It's an infection, and I appreciate, you know, and I'm looking forward to going to Texas Bitcoin Conference, but, you know, I don't want to sit there at a table and have these arguments. I just want to go hang and chill, and I just, you know, advocate for, I want a coin on the moon that somebody has to go get.
I think you'll come, and even if you meet even the regulating types, I think you will find that you have far less arguments with these people than you would think you would. I just think that, you know,
you and I have been arguing for 3 hours.
Well, I think we have. I think we have been discussing. See, if you go into an what we call an argument here, with the idea that you have to win and the other person has to lose, then you get nothing from it. If you're in the conversation because they spark ideas, they make you think, they make you to verbalize something in a different way, they make you know the other person is stretching your mind. Well, your mind comes out stretched, and you come out knowing more. You come out understanding better. And I have to admit, I have come up with concepts and ways of thinking about Bitcoin I did not have before the summit.
This is, and I'm glad, and that's what was the point, and that's why I was encouraged you being there and us having this conversation, because the power of inspiration, the power of the concept, the power of leave me alone, the power of that, which Bitcoin is representative of, and if you can inject it into the monetary system and get it in there and kind of screw them, power to the people, man, right on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that'll happen the way you think it might. But, you know, if it's not going to happen, how would they use this? Well, they will use the PSYOP. They'll use the attention. They'll go, see, Bitcoin thinks it needs to be regulated too. So we did one that's regulated and here it is, you know?
You implied that they may have, you know, suddenly there will be a terrorist act that will be blamed on Bitcoin. And I would
be shocked if there wasn't.
Yeah, just like all the talking about Ross, you know, the Dreadnought Pirate Roberts, Ubright, I think that's how you say his name. There was all this talk about how he killed somebody or, you know, paid for someone to be killed.
They just make up this shit as they go along.
Well, but the very fact that it's missing in the charges when they were finally filed is incredibly suspicious. It horribly suspicious. I mean, over the top suspicious. I mean, that was the number one reason supposedly he's arrested, and it's not there.
You naive?
No, I'm not naive. I'm just saying, I'm just saying this doesn't take proof.
My point is that anyone that's been dealing with these guys for enough time, I've gone through people, friends of mine, close friends have done jail time that I've had to hire in my businesses after they get out of jail, just as, you know, just karma. I mean, you know, and what they do, they make this crap up as they go along. You know, they'll go, well, I can't, suspicious that they, I go, seriously, where you been? I mean, they just make the shit up as they go. They'll create some, he was a child pornographer, you know, kitten thrown in the swirl, cactusing kind of 12-year-old that needed to be put down like the rabid dog that he is. What did he do? He used Bitcoin. I mean, you know, I'm going, seriously, this stuff is, you got to know they're lying before. I went to Lou Rockwell one time. We were doing a show and I go, Lou, it was early when I first started doing radio in 03-04 or something one time. And I said, how do you know when the government's lying? He goes, well, I always assume they're lying. That way I'm right more often than I'm wrong.
Absolutely.
And I go, you know, that's pretty freaking simple. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is, I want to make sure that, you know, as we end this conversation, because, I mean, you know, I love you, but man. So the thing that I wanted to be clear on is it's not anything that you're doing or not doing, or that's not my point. What I fear is the loss of the philosophy that is behind and at the root of and the creation of Bitcoin. If that is not emphasized, if we want to abandon that philosophy to get some kind of even PR, whether it's real or not, you go, the pill stays the same inside the government cheese. And I go, that's not the point. It's the perception. It's the public opinion. It's the marketing. It's the PR, which they have a freaking unlimited resource army of that they're going to use to do whatever they, them, those that won't leave us alone do. And if it wasn't for Bitcoin, not bombs, and San Jose, if it wasn't for, you know, free aid saying, no, we're done with this 501 thing, we're just going to do charity Bitcoin. If it wasn't for these people that say, no, we're going to embrace and use the anonymous features and Cody Wilson screaming, yeah, it's money laundering, get over it. If it wasn't for that, what would be the voice out there? You see my point?
Yeah, well, that's why the voices are there. That's, you know, you people have to have, people have to speak their mind. People have to raise their voices and do the education and bring people around to their way. If, you know, assuming that they have a compelling, because, you know, you're not the only voices yelling and screaming.
Let me know how I can help with this. Like, maybe we can do a Patrick thing and crash something, or just anybody. We crash, you know, SpaceX, go to Elon and kind of crash it on the moon thing. Because what happens, no matter what PR thing that they do, you do something very cool like that, it trumps anything that they go, yeah, what did I go? Yeah, on the moon. Well, you don't have, it's not a government-approved one on the moon. Yeah, but it's on the moon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's funded. Who wants to get the one on the moon? Yeah, but we got the, you know, Bank of America. Yeah, it's on the moon.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be incredible.
It's on the moon. On the moon. No.
What an incredible way to do an X Prize, you know? Just put it on the moon.
Yeah, and if there's somebody go, well, it's not enough. Okay, here's some more. Everybody would do another round of. And when it gets to, you know, gazillion de million, it's like, and what happened? Paul Allen funded Burt Rutan with $20 million to go get a $10 million prize.
Absolutely.
I go, well, you think they won't do, you know, it doesn't even have to be the cost of what it's.
No.
We're right there anyway. It might be a good little diversion. You know, I get me a little pit stop on my way to Mars.
Sure. We got to get to the moon before we go to Mars. I don't know what people are thinking sometimes.
I tell you what the money shot is. It's you have it lands. And add a little bit of water to the little, you know, the seed that's in this little plant, and you have the red horizon out the window in the background, and all of a sudden you sprout a green leaf. Who wants their logo next to that? See my point?
Absolutely.
That's the money shot. And when they do that, or you can do it on the moon. But the point is that it's coming. It's here. It's done. And my audience, I do what I can to keep them up to speed on just the science and the technology. OuterNet. It's there. I've been screaming. I'm going, God, you guys don't get it, man. It's one launch and it's done. Next. Then what?
Right.
Then what? You know? So we got to be ready for the then what. It's the philosophy that's got to stay clean. You and I, we need to think about something that we can do. And if you still remember my name, you know, we'll work something together. Oh, and this thing, I'm glad you got the, what I mentioned at the summit, what's her name, from the casino up there? Because of that open mall area that they have there, man, that's like Party Central. That is perfect for a Bitcoin flash mob that you go and spend Bitcoin and get wasted. I went and bought a hat at the D Casino and a keychain with there and made a big deal out of it. I'm standing there talking to Peter Schiff about it, wearing the hat. I go, hey, man, I just bought this hat with Bitcoin down at the casino. What are you going to say about that? You know? So I'm going to talk to her and I get a chance and we'll try and we'll do a flash mob. It'll be before it gets too hot. It'll be April 15th or some crap like that. And we'll just go into Vegas there and party just because we can. Don't got to organize anything. Don't got nothing.
Good. Good, because I think after I'm done with this, I'm not organizing anything for a while.
Yeah, I know, I'm hip. But see, that's one thing, like a Bitcoin flash mob thing, there's no organizing.
Yeah, there you go.
You just go.
Absolutely. You just go.
Of course, at the top of the hour, they got the light show with Obama, and I'm proud to be an American. You know, and I'm going, oh, God, that'll be fun. And I'm just going, then we got our anarchy flags and stuff. You know, so it'll be, thanks for spending time with me. You know, you got me all amped up, and I'm really excited about going to the Texas Bitcoin Conference and just being a quiet little church mouse in the corner and just, you know, interviewing, just asking quiet time, because I got everything here now. I feel so much better that I got to express myself to Mr. Paul Snow.
Come on.
And Rafael Rodriguez, you know, he got a dose of the summit, and I know you enjoyed yourself. I really appreciate you participating in everything. You got to have your say. We got three of you. If you didn't say it, then... You know, that was not my fault.
It was my own fault. It was my own fault if I didn't say it. Absolutely.
Paul, I look forward to seeing you again. I consider you a friend, and we're going to work together. We're going to do something. It's just the way we do it, but that there is no central plan for freedom. So, I mean, we can all just
Absolutely.
Do our thing.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate the time, and I had a great time at the summit, and I appreciate your spending time with me today.
Yeah, no. Peace out, brother. Talk to you later.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.